I'm just gonna.
Volume. So how is Butt doing?
He's fine. He's doing all right. That Dungeon Village game costs $5.
It does?
Yeah.
I don't remember how much I paid. I bought it a long time ago.
Is it as good as Desert Bus?
Nothing is as good as Desert Bus. Was it later or was it there when I was in the car with you that I was reading Desert Bus reviews?
Yes, you were
reading. Yeah, okay. There could be some improvements. It's like, oh shit, there could be some improvements.
I am very unfamiliar with either game you guys are talking
about. Desert Bus is amazing. It's the most realistic game ever.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
So, it looks like we're doing okay. Just don't breathe into the mic, because I don't have the...
Oh yeah, where's the what's-its?
I don't have a mouth.
Should I just hold my shirt over my mouth?
Well, then we'll see your
does
butt.
Does this help at all? Welcome to episode 73 of Eating the Microphone. I'm not going to do that.
I'm keeping all of this anyway. I'm not going to edit anything today.
There's a window I can look out now, so I can see the outside from the new location.
It's almost like we're above ground, and there's trees. It's like leaving prison.
Well, come on.
What are you talking about? The other place was not prison.
His name on the wall somewhere here. Right?
He's already got a chalk mark going up how many days he's been here.
The funny part is, though, so I got a phone call today from the old apartment place that said, you know, I was doing the checkout, and we noticed a lot of property left there. You guys moved out? I'm like, yep.
It's all yours. Figure it out.
So I'm going to get a bill.
I am curious what that number is going to be.
Bill? They should owe you money. That's good stuff.
Well, to be fair, maybe when they saw the stuff, they won't walk in the next room and realize it smells like cat piss. Of course, it's impossible not to notice that because you can smell it 20 feet away.
So you're not making me... Nick's never going to listen to his podcast. And this will never get back to him.
Well, I like Nick, but I think he knows his room smells like cat piss because it smells like cat piss. It's not like a... I'm not saying a mean thing about Nick. I'm saying his room smells like cat piss. Because it smells like cat piss.
Yeah.
There might be a new European deodorant out there. Yeah. Who never knows?
So when we were cleaning up in the area... cleaning up, quote unquote. I was kind of doing a walkthrough.
When you were looting your own home, would that be a better description of cleaning up? Like, oh, this is good. Grab this and just shove it in the truck. Go, go, go! Before the cops get here.
No, I realized in the 9 years that I've been in the place, I have never been in Nick's bathroom. And after the horrifying tales that Brian has told me about Nick's bathroom, I thought I'd check it out. I want to witness this horror. And I walked into the bathroom, and it was overwhelming, the smell of cat piss. But also, I saw his cat litter box, and I don't think there was litter anymore in there.
Oh, I don't think he cleaned it in years. I mean, I remember walking, I haven't lived there for years. I walked into his bathroom, I walked into his room to ask him something, and then my eyeline just kind of skittered to the side, and I could see, and it's like staring at the sun, I could just see the cat litter box. It can't be called a cat litter box, it was just a collection of cat poop that he had in a box in his...
It's
the poop box.
Yeah, it's like they just...
Why, you have to put something in the box?
Yeah, it was 100% filled with cat poop. There was nothing else in there.
Yeah, that poor cat could barely walk in the first place. Then try to straddle that box in there. I like to think there was like Tom Cruise and in Mission Impossible just being lured down to the cat box and then poop. Yeah, no. Oh, man. Hey, this is episode 73 of the Crippled System Podcast, where we eat the mics.
Yummy.
And we're not wearing pants.
Well, yeah.
Some people were more disappointed about that than others.
You do not taunt me with the opportunity to take my pants off. Like, that's not a just kidding kind of thing. People get hurt.
When I come to a new place, first thing I need is to take my pants off, get comfortable, check it out.
Make you feel like home, right?
I have been naked more in this apartment in the last couple days than I have been at my old apartment.
One of my ex-wife's favorite anecdotes was a time that it took her quite a long time to convince me when we were going to the bank. The bank. And there was a long argument that ended with me saying, fine, I'll put on pants. She had to, it was like pulling teeth. I was wearing like pajama bottoms. Those are fine, right?
That's legit, McGovern. Yeah, as long as you're not trying to go for a loan.
Yeah, if you don't have to get out of the car, they weren't pajama long. Bottoms this, are just fine.
This is more like Army Men boxer shorts. But
if you don't have to get out of the car, you're pretty much just fine.
Yeah.
You just have to worry about, you know, the teller, like looking down in your car and just seeing you.
That's
like,
why you just go for the far one, so you guys got the tube.
I just put my underwear in the tube. Just drive away.
Oh my god, that would be such an excellent prank to do at a bank. Just to show up and then just ship underwear up the tube and then film the response the person gets when they open the tube and then drive away.
What would be even funner is if you, well, maybe it's funner if you would know like the teller there. It'd just be a practical joke you play on him every once in a while.
No,
or would it be funner to just do it to someone you don't have a clue about?
No, you don't have a clue about. That would be the best way. And also have chocolate. Melted chocolate.
I saw a video of a guy. What he did is he's in a public restroom and he's like, hey, I'm out of toilet paper. And, you know, the guy in the next door is like, I'm out of toilet paper. Can I borrow some? And then the person reaches under to give him toilet paper and he just rubs, he wipes some Nutella on their hand. Just bleh, and this guy pulls his hand back and it's, yeah.
That's actually pretty awesome.
I could really set someone off, though.
Really. Luckily, you're in a locked steel enclosure.
I don't want to call that. I wouldn't call that secure. No.
I watched way too many of those doors get kicked in high school.
Yeah. Well, you know, if it doesn't have a risk of death, it's not a good prank.
Well, it's not wrong.
There's shit everywhere. My favorite line from a bad movie.
A great bad movie.
From Dumb and Dumber.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a good movie.
Say that. I continue to not ever see it.
You need to see it at least once, because Bob Saget has probably the best, besides his cameo in Half-Baked, his cameo in this, excellent.
I already did my brave thing for the foreseeable future. I ate a chicken foot today.
Oh, what?
Yeah. What?
I did a Chinese buffet on the east side. The Journey.
You just ate a the CD chicken foot?
Yes, yes.
Was the chicken like, stop eating my foot?
Yes, very angry. Yeah, there's just a live chicken out back, and I just tackled it and just ate its foot.
I'm not even cooked yet. Come on now.
I want a new Hobo
picture.
It's
actually a guy in a chicken costume.
I want a new Nathan Hobo picture, him eating the chicken off the chicken foot off a chicken.
It was not good. It seemed very wasteful.
I thought you were racist.
No, yeah. It seemed very wasteful. Because all you do is like eat the skin off of it, and then like there's no meat. And
I didn't
just
even realize there was probably skin on them. I was like, I didn't.
It doesn't seem like it's very good.
And there isn't
it
much
like
there.
You choke
it was
on a nail.
It was rubbery, and they served. It was cold.
You were at a Chinese buffet, so really any choice you made wasn't going to be the good choice.
Well, it was. They had like the different islands, and this island had all the sushi and stuff on it too. And I don't like sushi, so that island I should have just avoided. But I was like, you know what? I'll try
it was
a chicken
sushi
foot.
Sushi slash chicken feet.
I can't really say
kimchi. Yeah.
Good are you sure it was actually sushi?
I didn't eat any, so it doesn't matter. No.
Sushi that's out sitting out like that, I wouldn't really trust. So even though I love sushi, I would not go. And
you
trust
have to
that.
Get the stuff that's freshly cut.
Yeah,
that's sitting in ice and you know.
Yeah.
And they have some special stuff. We went there eating, now we're eating, and all of a sudden they just brought out a lobster. And they're like, any group of two or more adults gets a lobster. I was like, okay, cool.
Of two or more adults.
Yeah.
Some guys in the court going, aww. I would just like, if I was there, I would just like pick my seat up and watch myself. Just sit down next. You're my friends now. If you say anything, I'll murder you all. So I eat the lobster. I'll go away.
So that's the incentive to get, you know, the lonely guy to bring people to the Chinese food place. Yeah. Is you get a lobster. Yeah. It's not cooked. You just have to fight.
It was alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you get to bring home as a pet. His name is Clampy.
I fed it the chicken foot. He liked it.
Yeah, well, he probably hasn't.
And you threw him at the lonely guy in the corner.
Yes. We had lobster fights.
And I'm Brian, and I play Crix.
Did Andy introduce himself?
No, no. I just said the episode.
Oh.
That's it.
Nathan and I play Convergence of Cirrus.
I'm Dan, and I play Trolls.
Jeremy, and I play Menoth.
And I'm Andy, and I play
badly.
Horrible, horrible mercenaries. Badly.
Hey,
I play badly.
You did all right yesterday.
I did all right for having like 3 hours of sleep,
two of which were in my car.
Yeah, two of which are in a car, and I had just got done moving over to the new place. So yeah, that was fun. Or I just got done looting the old place.
Yes, so,
I'm hearing a lot of excuses, but no actual reason why.
No, you hear my excuses in my battle report. No. It'll be awesome as I say everything. Yeah, that went wrong.
Announcement.
somebody derail my fail train, please.
I was just watching it.
Announcements. There we go. We're all better. There's a lot of shit coming up. Look it up.
Today, Raylene was like, "So, are there any more events coming up soon?" And I laughed for like an hour.
every week,
I think literally every Saturday for the next 3 months.
This Saturday, there's an event in Madison. It's full.
Yeah.
Next weekend, there's an event in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It's got some room. There's also an event in Dice Dojo next weekend. It's got some room. And then there's a ton more after that. And then there's DICON, and same time as DICON, there's an event somewhere else in the Midwest. In Chicago. No, I think somewhere posted an event on the same time as DICON, and people are like, DICON. I think it's Rochester, where they had the Godfather Pizza. Did you go to the Godfather? Was it me and you and Katie and Jeremy? Or... Is it Godfather's Pizza?
This is the most stream of consciousness.
I'm just rambling on and on.
Like, how much weed did you smoke before the announcement segment?
Hey!
You ever had pizza? DICON. There's another thing. DICON pizza. Yeah. I like pizza. You guys see this? Look at my feet. Hey, how's it going, lobster? Hello, announcements.
And that's announcements.
Done.
And then there's some more stuff going
on. No pants, but plenty of weed.
Hey. For the record, I actually am very opposed to drug use, so I don't like to joke about it.
You're very opposed to drug use.
That's my thing. I know. Staying.
You like booze, though.
I booze all the time.
Yeah.
I can't stop drinking.
Yeah, I'm not too much of the drug use as well. It's like, do I really need... I mean, you look at me. Do I look like I need another reason to snack?
I don't do drugs, but I fully support the usage of drugs.
I could care less.
My whole thing is, if it was legal, I would try it.
I have tried it.
That's why I'm like,
I didn't particularly care for it.
I mean, I play disc golf every week. I'm surrounded by druggies. I play disc golf weekly. So, I mean, I can't not deal with it.
You just get a contact high every time you go to disc golf. Yeah,
well, there it is. Those two guys wander off in the woods.
That's me going to any concert, too. It's like I always seem to be right by the people smoking the reefer. I was like, oh, I can smell that.
Yeah. I always get asked if I'm holding. Yeah. All the fucking time. Well, I guess I look that way, so.
Really? You need to stop that.
The drug dealing hippie.
Yeah.
I always get asked if I want a party, $5.
My name is Rod, and I like to party.
So should we talk about the event then? 80% of us were there.
Yeah.
It was the fourth and final Cedar Rapids event. I'm setting the mood. I'm setting the tone. In a faraway place called Iowa.
It was awful.
It might have been, but once again, Long John Silver's was perfect.
I had that stench.
You guys know what? Cedar Rapids is where it's at?
Yeah.
Come on, there's a couple strip joints there, too, that if you just lost early, you just go there.
It smells like fish, too.
Yeah. If there's one thing I did, it was lose early.
So, Cedar Rapids in the middle of town. You know, most towns have, every town has a dump, obviously, where they throw everyone. But Cedar Rapids literally has a dump in the center of the town.
You said it has a dump? I heard is a dump.
Is a dump.
And they're just like, every town is a dump. Just the whole state of Iowa. Just literally.
Now, that's not wrong. But they literally have their dump in the center of town. When we got there, like, what is the stench? Like, oh, yeah, when the wind blows, the whole town smells like the dump. I'm like, when the wind blows, so only every other day, plus the other day, is when it smells like shit. Congratulations, Cedar Rapids, on a well-placed dump.
But Ames has potable water.
Yeah.
Ames is great. I went to college there. I had a lot of fun there.
And he's wandering around his apartment looking for a phone.
So if
why do you need your phone? We're recording.
Phone, would you go and call it right now?
Andy, why do you need your phone?
My people,
Oh, he needs Iron Grudge.
Well,
that makes sense.
I will do my day because it wasn't that exciting. It was surrounded.
Did the best, though.
No, Dan did the best. Dan got spoilers.
Damn it.
I did well. Round one, I played Cricks because I didn't want to think, and I've enjoyed my score, but I have this like inner need to watch people cry and suffer, so I figure I need to bring the Cricks out, and I brought Tom Gwan's Morton Eberle list, and if you don't know what it is, look it up. That's my one list. And then I played a Scar 2 theme where it was double Raiders, Blood Witches, and a Kraken with like three captains. Round one, I faced a person who didn't know what Martin Ever did, so I won that game. That was my
On second turn, probably.
Yeah, it was top of two.
Two.
He knew she had an assassination run. He didn't quite understand what it was, and then I showed him. I was like, oh, that's how Martin Ever won the game.
And so it's like, how far is Martin Ever's assassination run? And you say, you see this table?
Yes.
That's it.
So that was he was a fun score guy. I've played the guy a couple times and he's decent, but he just didn't know what he could do. Round two, I faced a Esteban.
Esteban.
He's a local. He was one of the local. Ironic. I have to say, We have come and taunted the Des Moines people every single time. First event, we were the only ones there. Second event, there's only two of them there.
And they were the B team. Yeah. It was Colin and Fox.
And the third event, it was just Keith. Yesterday, all of them came. Everyone that lived in Des Moines, Iowa, came to Cedar Rapids to play War Machine. There was 19 people, four locals, five Madison, and the rest Des Moines.
Yeah.
It was a little...
It was John, Keith, Chad, Nigel, Colin, and Fox, huh?
And then some, and then some of the other guys.
Oh, and Hudson. Yeah, yeah.
There. And then a couple other guys. Hudson,
Gar, that lying son of a bitch.
I played Gar in round one. He's from Des Moines. So round two, I played Esteban, one of the few locals. It was, Circle. Esteban. I'm like, oh my God, it's Circle. But I was playing Crix this time. Although, it was Baldur 2 versus Morton Abra. And it got very, very tight. He bricked up, I bricked up, which is kind of a weird little kind of defensive line.
Wait, somebody playing a Baldur 2 Theme Force bricked up?
I know.
Yeah. Weird.
But he got ahead of me in some kills, but I was able to get a bunch of attacks on his cast. I got him to 1 point of health and corroded, and then he failed his corrosion roll. So I killed him with corrosion. That was a fun moment. Then I sit down around three, play this jack-off playing Convergence with his Iron Mother list.
Shitheads.
So we're about to start the game, and I'm like, I wasn't even going to come to the event, because basically I just didn't. I was like, you know, I had a lot of plans, and there was a lot of who's going to drive with who problems.
And for like the last month, we've been talking about the fact that Andy, Jordan, and Jeremy were the three Madisonians that were basically tied for the overall lead, and that was all that mattered. And the rest of us were continuing to go for the hell of it.
We were just going for the hell of it. So I'm like, you know, I have 6 weeks of tournaments. I'm running two or three tournaments, and I'm playing in a ton of events, and there's a convention in the middle of that. So I'm like, but I like the guy, so I decided to go anyway. And then I'm starting the third round, and the TL Billy comes over. He's like, oh, by the way, Brian, just so you know, you're actually in contention to win this thing too. I'm like, God damn it. I was having a relaxing day. I'm 2-0. I mean, I know Andy's at this point has lost the game. And
Spoilers.
And Jordan had lost the game.
Andy, two things. Number one, I found your phone. Number two, there's a lot of red stuff on the top of your Iron Grudge report.
Yes.
Is that red for the blood of your victories?
Yes.
Okay, just check it.
I figured you would take a break from recording games for a few weeks.
No. I took a break when I finished up my Crix and that after I played Trolls, and then I should have took a break recording games this week.
I'm gonna start recording my games any day now. I have Iron Grudge and it's great. I fully support using it. I haven't put a damn thing in it in like a year.
It is neat. It is a good tool. So round three, I fight Nathan. And it's Iron Mother versus Gar. Both of us can back. I have a Kraken. He has a Colossal.
A Colossal?
He has two Colossals. I have a Colossal. My Colossal is deployed at the table edge. So I'm like, he is not going to backlash a thing. So I keep it. Because that's the whole Iron Mother thing is backlash in a Kraken, a Colossal to death.
Yes.
So I deploy on the table edge. On turn two, he's finally moved forward 5 inches. And was it turn two or turn three? I sent all my raiders.
Top of two, you went.
I end up only doing 12 damage of backlash to his caster. I'm not feeling bad. I held a raider unit back, and I'm like, well, because you jammed all of your attunements into my raiders.
Ran all of his statistics forward, as they do, and then I just took all my servitors and just put them literally base-to-base in front of all of his raiders. I'm like, I'm not even going to shoot. I'm just going to try to not get charged.
Yeah. Well, what's cool is our theme force is stealth run one, so it helps a little bit.
Yeah.
But I then, I was able to free up one entire unit. I was able to free up like 8 of the 10 people with solos in my caster and the sea witches. Yeah, whatever. What that's called. So I do 12 damage. I'm feeling pretty good. And then I didn't see this trick, but he has all his mechanics. His heal is caster to full, and I wanted to strangle him to death.
The your eyes and your face did not agree. Like your face remained implacable, but I'm like, heal and repair and repair and repair and repair. And so she's fully healed now. And you said what? I said she's fully healed, and you didn't say anything. But your eyes disemboweled me with like 20 different tools. Like they went through all the options. It was a great moment.
Yeah, that's about right. 20 is about right. but luckily, the following turn, I was able to upkeep backlash. I was able to do like 8 or 9 points on the one, and I was able to transfer backlash to the other one and send my other unit. And then I was finally able to kill your caster with backlash shenaniganry. My Kraken just sat back and watched the entire game. He's like, oh, stuff's happening up there. Yeah. But I'm too afraid. But so that was kind of cool. And then round four. And then Jordan lost that game, which locked me in for the first overall, which was good because I sat down at my last point. I played Adam Krupp, who's awesome. He'll tell the story of this game on Muse on Minis Miami. Basically, he's an asshole. No. I won the role to go first, and because I played Crix, I'm like, I'll go first. But what I didn't realize is I played on the same table earlier in the day.
some of the terrain got jumped together. So there was a spot he could put his caster that was unkillable. He literally had an unkillable spot for his caster to hide behind terrain. And I'm playing an assassination list, and he's playing a list that's going to survive all.
Yeah.
So I basically, I sit down, and he puts his caster in that spot. I'm like, this is not going to go good. After, like, and I played for four turns. He could have made some kind of mistake. Like, he had a block one side of his caster with a model, so I couldn't, like, ghostly through a building to get to his caster, but he was smart enough to do that. So I played it, like, four turns, and he basically just kept, because he was Malok, he was reviving the undead, they were all super tough, and my list does not have staying power.
Right.
So after, like, turn four and a half, I'm like, you know what? Even if I win, you're the pair down, like, and they're going to be two undefeated. Even if I win, I would get second at best. Plus, it's irrelevant because, quite frankly, I'm going to lose this game because there's no way he's playing defensively and he's just going to out-attrition me.
Right.
So I'm like, I just forfeited. I'm like, you win. And then I wandered off. I called him an asshole because he took the. And then I called
it. He is a crump. He's the better crump, but he's still a crump.
And I yelled at the Teal for a while. I'm like, Billy, you son of a bitch. And it wasn't his fault because that happens in a game. You play it in train, like, which, you know, I should have I played there, so I knew what the train looked like mentally in my head, so I didn't, like, reevaluate it on the table because I played there. I knew what it was.
Right.
So I didn't realize that things got bumped. Oh, it's thundering outside. We're all going to die.
Sexy.
Oh, no. So I went 3-1, which clinched overall, which was great because I got a $200 gift card, which I was able to get a bunch of shit. I got Gorshade, Bane Riders, expansion for Smash Up, and some GW terrain, of all things.
How many skulls are on him?
There's a lot. It's a graveyard.
Yeah, he got two copies of the graveyard.
Two copies of the graveyard. Yeah. I want to make a theme board. It'll have some. I'll incorporate it into some stuff.
I haven't seen it in a while. I thought it was at Misty, but there was some place that had a skull that was made entirely out of skulls.
It's like a mountain. Yeah, and it's
no, it wasn't skull. A mountain. Oh. It was literally like a skull, like normal skull shaped, and it was just made out of skulls.
Yeah,
I'm like, that was just. Skullception. It was GW terrain. It
might have been Last Square.
Encapsulated. Maybe. It might have been.
It was Last Square. Last Square had the skull of skulls.
A skull of skulls. I'm like, oh my goodness. We get it. Skulls.
Yeah. This is not going to help me watching Game of Thrones later on.
The Dramatic Thunder? That'll be great.
No, because I have Dish Network.
Oh.
I'm going home.
I can't wait till like dramatic scene and like the fighting and somebody goes to stab somebody and then woof, gone.
Yeah.
It'd be almost like when we tried to watch the finale of Breaking Bad at your place. That was exciting.
No, not the finale. The starting of Breaking Bad.
The final episode.
Yeah.
The last episode.
I had to leave because of your team.
Yeah, we left and watched.
We were able to watch the final episode.
No, we weren't.
The final.
We were not. I had to leave. I went to Tim's house and watched it that night.
Okay. And then I legally obtained it from Brian.
Yes.
Legally.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
That's exactly what happened.
So I also was at the event. I did not win best overall or anything at that event. True story. First round I played against Fox. He had Terminus. I had Lucant. Sprays murder the shit out of infantry, even if they're tough, and just spraying with reductors and bringing back reductors and spraying with reductors. Eventually he ran out of guys, and then he got inverted to death.
To death.
Round two I played against Nigel with his Ocean's 18 list. An unfortunate thing is that we don't have any Kador players locally, kind of. We have Jordan, but I wouldn't say he's a Kador player. He's a Butcher player.
Yeah, he's just a strict Butcher. If he doesn't believe it's good, he'll never play it.
Hey, he played Vlad for a little bit. That's why he...
And hated the entire time.
Butcher list was getting painted.
So I had a great plan, because I knew his Ocean's 18 list. What it does is stationary you... Shoot your caster with Iris 1 so you can't shake stationary off of your caster or any of your jacks. Shoot, shoot, shoot. You lose a turn. Shoot, shoot, shoot. You're dead. So I knew that was going to happen. So the good thing is Lucant, all of his jacks are shield guards. So I had Lucant, my two heavies, and one of my lights base to base in a wall marching up the field with his corollary behind him so that even when he stationaries me, I have one non-stationary shield guard that I can shield guard Lucant so that Iris doesn't shoot him. And then I'm still camping 6. I survive the assassination attempt. I shake. I murder her. And everything's happy. But the issue is, because we don't have a local Kador player, I forgot she had a knockdown spell. So instead of my corollary being an inch behind Lucant, it was a half an inch behind Lucant. So he stationaried me, shot me with Tempest, knocked down the corollary, and then shot me. Shield guards can't shield guard on their ass, and then I died quickly. So good news is I'll never make that mistake again. So that makes it a good game.
Game three, I played against Brian. I should have looked at his list, but I'm like, I just played Lucan twice. I'm going to play Iron Mother. So I sat down. I was going to play Iron Mother. I put Iron Mother on the table, and then he starts putting Satixis and Scar on the table across from my two Colossals. So that was bad. It actually didn't go as bad as I expected it, because he did all the backlashing. It used up one of his Power Swell mini feats. I repaired all the damage. I feeded. I killed, like, 15, 20 Satixis, including, like, I killed a bunch of shit. Then he power swelled and finished me off. But I kind of, if I'd survived the second backlash run and continued, like, then you wouldn't have had any offensive force to finish me off.
If you would have survived the second backlash jump, you would not have been able to repair those, because I would have grabbed all four of those models and thrown them across the room. And you
that
never
is
would have
true.
Found them.
That is
so
true.
That would have been the disadvantage there, because those models would have ceased to exist.
And the second backlash run, because you had cleared up all my servitors, like, the first backlash one, you know, it was probably a 40% to kill me, because you had to hit with, like, every single attack.
Yeah.
You had literally 18 attacks on my Colossals.
Well, I was planning on keeping you around. I was figuring, I figured you'd be injured, I'd just finish it off easily, and then you're like, heal, rest.
So the second backlash attempt was, like, a 90% success rate, but if I had survived that, I think then, you know, the game goes my way. But, you know, 90%, you don't survive 9 out of 10 times, and spoiler, I didn't survive this time.
And you, I was able to keep the Kraken back. You had, because your list is those two corollary, or your two battle edges, you have, or your Colossals, you have to put them forward.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So, you know, did not survive the 95% guaranteed assassination run. Big surprise. So I lost there. And then round four, I played against Gar, and we had a great game. It was a blast because neither of us gave a shit. We played some stuff. Turns out, Zal face tanks Colossals. Like, he's all just went out in the middle of the table with, like, and I send a fully loaded Prime Axiom at it. I'd already used my feet, but so he's only mat 5, but I'm boosting to hit and stuff, and it's all just like, nope, dodge, dodge, dodge. So my club's like, why aren't you dead? And then he just walks away. I miss the free strike. And then he just shoots through my other Colossal and kills Iron Mother. So good job, Gar. That's apparently a thing that happens. So I did not do well, but I had a lot of fun. It was great. I was talking to Dan on the way home. Like, normally after an event, especially an event that long, like, that was like a 10-hour event, I'm, like, drained. I just wanted to play more War Machine afterwards. I was like, I want to play more.
Spoiler alert.
What?
I didn't want to play anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. But you just wanted to sleep.
Yeah, that's basically it.
That's my story.
So I was taking trolls, so I took a Jarlist.
Wait, we save always good for last.
Okay, fine.
Hey, yeah.
What?
Go ahead. How was your day, Jeremy?
My day was spent working out in my yard, so other than getting a suntan.
Like doing squat thrusts?
No, I was, I'm working on doing our
free
landscape.
Weights?
Where I'm sorry.
We took our plan that we spent 4 months working with a guy that turned into nothing, and we're deciding to do it ourselves this year. So what the plan would cost us with $21,000 with him coming in and doing it, we're probably going to do for like maybe $3,000 total by ourselves. So, yay.
I'll do it for 10.
No.
2.
No.
17.
No.
$1.
Hey, if you want to come out and shovel like 15 tons of rock for $1, I'll let you do that.
Deal. Can I take my pants off?
I don't care.
Yes.
Pantsless rock throwing.
Yep.
It's in the Scottish Highland Games.
My games are going to be very short, and that's why I wanted to get in before Dan, because Dan has got a better day than I did for the wonderful event.
Well,
you had
fair,
a perfect record.
I did have a perfect record.
Based on the rankings, a few people had a better day than you. Sorry.
I think I was dead last.
You were.
Yeah.
You
came awesome. In dead that is a new achievement for me, because I don't think I've ever really been dead last at an event, except for today. So my first round, I went against a Minions player who brought Caliban, Dan White, and fuck if I ever saw Caliban on the table, other than in a Who's the Boss event.
Do you know why you don't see Caliban on the table?
Because
he's fucking awful.
Because he's Caliban.
He's terrible.
Yeah, but he has one spell that works out pretty well against Durgan, and that's called Occultation.
Yeah.
And so I lost. Well, actually, what truly happened is I shot the hell out of his Wrestler with all my shooting that I have in my Durgan Galleon list, and dragged the Wrestler in, punched it twice with the Galleon, and it still had two systems left to heal itself, and then Gator rolled Durgan.
Wow.
I think it was pretty scary. It was like, what?
think against Caliban Gators with Durgan, you just go full melee. Just say, fuck it, I don't even care that I'm playing Durgan. Just send your Earthbreaker in, redlined, and punch things to death.
Yeah,
put up inhospitable ground.
That's probably what I should have done, and I didn't, and yeah, that's why I died. And then second round, I took on Keith, which is, you know, he's pretty cool.
He was playing Meat Mountain, right?
Yeah, and he was playing the fucking Meat Mountain.
I mentioned it there. It's always a fun thing in an event. Like, you're in the loser's bracket, and you run into, like, a War Machine weekend winner. It's like, oh, I'm in the loser's bracket. Oh, it's Jake Van Meter.
So this is the second event in a row that I've done this. I've gone into the loser's bracket, and my first one was against Jordan Knack. And then this time it was Keith playing the fucking Meat and Moan. And I actually did pretty well against it. It's another... the Caliban list also had like a ton of medium-based infantry
A lot of medium-based horde infantry there.
Yeah, there was.
That's basically... Spoiler alert, that's what I faced almost all day today. Or yesterday.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, like, if that's something that's going to be... the one convergence thing that has had literally zero table time from me, because it just really doesn't appeal to me, is the axes? The perforators. The perforators just seem kind of meh to me, but if there's going to be that much medium-based infantry, that POW 8 armor-piercing assault shots are really going to be good.
I had them really do a number on me when I took on Stu. The perforators were just...
Yeah,
you wouldn't think that they would do much against a colossal, but they add up after a while.
Yeah.
So against Keith, I took on Meat Mountain. Gristle had a ton of transfers on her. If I would have rolled better with my port guns on both of the colossals, I rolled horribly on both of them. If I would have rolled good on the port guns, I would have taken them out. I would have had enough to brute force my way through all of his transfers, and I didn't. So that I died. Then I took on Evan Brownfield with Xerxes, and he was playing Fist of Halak.
He plays, it's later for me, he plays one Beast and two Min Centrata unit within, like, three Accurari and two Incendiari.
Yep. Again, more meat. I had powered through five transfers of Xerxes to bring him down to one hit point. Two more shots into Xerxes, dice minus seven, I rolled a seven, dice minus five, I rolled a five.
Sexy.
And then next turn, I could have then just killed Tiberian with my Colossal, and I didn't. I was hoping to hit Xerxes so hard that when he transferred, it would blow back into him.
Yeah, or at least, he has lower armor than Tiberian. So assuming you hit, you're actually doing more damage to Tiberian than you would be if you shot him direct.
So I hit Xerxes with a Case Cracker, thinking, I could possibly get a little bit more. It was like dice minus two, and I ended up rolling only four damage. So Tiberian took that damage, and I'm like, fuck. So then I lost. And then I took on Kruger 2 with my Durgan.
That sounds good.
Durgan and Galleon List. And Kruger 2 is always good because he has Stormwall. And Stormwall equals fun times with a ranged army.
Yes.
So, and I lost that too. So that was my day. Storm and then I got second overall.
It's within 14 inches of him.
14 inches. It's 5 inches shorter on all range.
Guess what Durgan's range on his gun under the Dougal's mini feet is?
14.
What a coincidence.
Yeah, I played it. I played it a little bit differently. I ended up... I had no idea that Stalkers, primaled, can kill my Colossal pretty quick.
Primal Stalkers,
fuck me! I don't think I've ever faced one, but I had my Earthbreaker. I would charge one of the Stalkers, killed it. I kind of took him up by surprise. I ran Durgan behind it as well to make sure I was in range for shooting next turn, and he just primaled his other Stalker and he just leveled it. And Durgan's like behind a giant wreck marker, and he's like,
So to continue this joke, is that because we don't have a good circle player in Madison?
Oh,
she's not even here to defend herself.
She doesn't primal stuff much at all anyway. I don't see Katie bring a Gorax much. She's more finessey player. She likes the shrimpies and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think she doesn't like the look of either Gorax, and that kind of skews her. She doesn't want to play them, I think.
Yeah.
I just never faced a primal Stalker, and holy fuck beans. He definitely killed a lot of things.
What you need
things.
To do is swap names with me so you get stuck playing Dan from Milwaukee every tournament, and then you'll learn that.
Oh, no. Actually, funny story about Dan from Milwaukee.
He's funny looking.
Him and I have faced off many a times. He has always, I've always just wandered into his assassination run all the time, and then he's just failed it, and then I kill him.
So, yeah, he's held like 99% Cromac assassination attempts on you and failed all of them.
Yeah. So, not saying it's.
I've had many a grumpy meal at the Fazoli's next door with Dan after one of those. Like after Rad 2, which is like, what the hell, man? I don't get it.
I think the last time he finally got me, but yeah, there was a period of like four times where I've just like teleport. A murder. I failed.
This reminds me of the time I face tank Getarex and a Stalker of Terminus.
This was when the last one Andy did it with P. Doomy. Doomy won. Face tanked a primal Stalker.
He ran a Stalker up and failed to kill. I killed it. Then he ran Getarex up the next turn, failed to kill, and I killed him
with Doomy won. Who's I think defense armor for? Something like that.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. But anyway,
so Jeremy, talk some more about your Artscaping My Brain history boot from that one. Yeah.
So. I think Dan, if he's listening to this, is just seething in rage right now. Sorry, Dan. You'll get me next time.
All right. So let's try this again. So, Plane Trolls. I brought a Jarl list with Nis and Fenblades and Warders and a Bomber and an Impaler and something else. And then a modified version of the Meat Mountain because I only own one unit of Warders, so I brought two mini units of Champs instead. So
fuck Meat Mountain.
So round
I like
one.
The double Champs.
I'm on the fence about it.
Seems to have more hitting power than the Warders.
It does. It's trading offense for defense.
It's also possibly because I didn't play Trolls when Warders existed. I played Trolls when Champs existed, so I'm used to running double Champs.
Mm-hmm. So, round one, I draw Keith. My first thought is, fuck. Then I realized that he and Chad had switched armies for the day, so I knew I wasn't immediately doomed. Just mostly doomed. So, we end up with the greatest of all situations. Meat Mountain, unmodified Meat Mountain. In destruction.
The term slugs fucking comes to mind.
Everyone was so happy. Like, man, no matter what happens, that's one less Meat Mountain in the winner's bracket. There's so much joy in the room.
That was true. So we start moving up, and everything looks pretty much the same. He runs up. I run up. He runs up some more. We're both trying to hold our feet to be second. Then I pulled the most genius of maneuvers, where I put my Molg within rushed charge range of his Molg. And then he goes for it, and I'm like, well, that's the game. Then Molg survived. I don't know how Molg survives Molg.
I know. It's because he rolled snake eyes in a 3, and one of those was on his charge attack.
Yes.
It's not a big puzzle.
Yes, it was very unfortunate for him.
In a game I played, I rolled triple ones 3 times. 3 out of 4 times were triple one, triple one, triple one, and the other one was 2-1-1. Luckily, it was on like irrelevant things, but it was just kind of like a bad dice happen every game, and when they come in the time, like in my game, it came in an irrelevant time. Your game is bad dice came when it was the worst.
The most important roles of the game. Yep. Yeah. So then I was able to rebound back, take out his Molg, kill some more stuff. I was able to feat second, so I was able to just kind of weather it out. Plus, the other thing is by switching to two mini units of Champs, I also happen to have an extra light on him, so I had the ability to last longer from a Fury Generation perspective, because then the next round I killed the Axer in his list. So at the end of it, his Gristle had to start making last-ditch assassination runs. And the first one I survived because he couldn't hit a boosted 9 on her knockdown gun. And then the second one I survived because I was just camping 4 or 5. And then Charge of the Trolls, 2 Warders, dead Gristle.
Cool. Andy's shaking his head disappointedly at me. I was the only one without a cable clip on my microphone.
Yeah, you didn't need one. And you put the one that's on the base stand normally up on the top part.
It's working. Don't judge me.
Chaos in the room. Chaos.
How many more times could we interrupt Dan?
If you won't let me take my pants off, I'm going to find other ways to entertain myself.
And that commercial break?
Does it involve taking your pants off?
Eventually.
So anyways, round two, then I play against Evan, who is running Fist of Halleck as his only list. So I'm like, well, all right, more medium-based infantry. So I drop Gristle again, and that basically boiled down to his inhospitable ground is 10 inches, and mine is 12. So I was able to kind of outrange him that way.
How many Tyrant Commanders does he have?
He just had one.
So he had Xerxes could do one. And see, that thing with his list, because that's my big fear, is Gristle. I want to, at some point, A match I want to do, but I don't want to do because it'd be so painful.
Mm-hmm.
But because he doesn't have Rush on the he can't Rush Tiberian, which is a big deal for him.
Yeah. So that ended up costing him. So he ended up. It took him with his feet Centrati to kill Mulg because it was on my feet. So then they were nicely clustered up, and I lit all of them or most of them on fire with the Pyro Troll. But he did also try to commit Tiberian, but failed the charge due to inhospitable ground. So then I was able to get one of my units of champs with Charge of the Trolls on it and killed it to the point. So this started continuing to grind through medium-based infantry, and eventually Xerxes had to run in there, and then I was able to knock him down with an Axer and then warder him to death. So that was round two.
Just a headbutt with the Axer?
Yeah,
or
boosted headbutt. I tried that against Gristle round one, but I missed it. So
I walked by when you did that. I saw you miss him. That might be bad. And then I wandered off.
Round one, yeah. I still had two warders back arc with Charge of the Trolls. Oh. So they're mat 11, so it's hard to miss.
Gotcha.
Mat 11 troops!
Sorry.
pull out a 40 for Beanish.
Sorry. So then I'm feeling relatively good. It's been a while since I've gotten into, the top bracket by round three. So I pull Fat Asian. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be interesting. So he was running some High Reclaimer list with every solo in Menoth.
That's an interesting list.
Yeah, it was a very interesting list.
It has Bloody Bradigan in it.
Yeah. High Reclaimer of a Devout, unit of Daughters, unit of Knights Exemplar, two Knights Exemplar Seneschals, the Book, Bwani Brannigan, Hawk.
A couple of the monks. Did you mention the monks?
Yeah, two of the monks.
Some Bastions.
Vilmon, three Paladins, I think. Whatever the maximum amounts of two Paladins, and a unit of Bastions.
It's funky.
So I decided to try something different, despite his whining about it being a bad matchup for the Meat Mountain.
Every single game, I was within a table's length of him, and all I could hear is every game was like, round one, bad matchup, round two, bad matchup. I mean, he's playing, I'm like, if you call it a bad, he's like, oh, another bad matchup. I'm like, if you win this game, John, I'm finding a Twinkie, and I'm shoving your miles in it.
And what's great is, not only did he say bad matchup, but we'd call him on it, and each time it's like, I know, but this one seriously is a bad matchup. This time it is, unlike the last two rounds.
If you ever want to have John Damaris at your tournament, you could just record that and just place it in a corner, and it'd be just like he's there.
And then, frustratingly enough, also just throw the first place coin in the garbage, because he would have gotten it.
Yeah,
he's going to complain about the bad matchup the entire fucking time and then win.
Yes.
So I dropped my Jarl list, and then...
Well, actually, that would be pretty awesome with Magic Bullet.
Actually doing well. I just...
Wow, seriously, that's a bad matchup for him.
I played it relatively badly. I'm so looking forward to the music cast on this one so I can splice these two parts together. So mistake number one that I made was, for some dumb reason, I thought Hunter let you see through clouds instead of just ignore clouds for concealment purposes.
Womp.
So instead of running my Nis and then Tax Supremium up 17 inches up the board, I moved up 7 and then couldn't shoot anything.
Yeah.
So,
that's fair. I mean, it's a mistake.
Yeah, so that was a dumb mistake. I mean, if they would have been up the field, it would have been a different game, because then you would have had to defend against Jarl on a hill and a full unit of Nis behind his lines.
I said the good news for me, I will never forget has knockdown. You will never forget that Hunter does not ignore clouds.
Yep.
So
then round two, he jams into my shit and... killing stuff. The daughters are pretty well engaged, so I'm starting. He's got clouds up everywhere to stop me from shooting him and to keep his daughters defense 17 against basically everything. So I'm trying to whittle away and get back. I kill 5 of the daughters. Then and unfortunately, I had to spend all of Jarl's fury to do it. So I tax upon myself with the Rune Bearer and back up. But then he feats back the rest of the daughters and charges me. And those two six-man CMAs on me. Kills me to the point, but I make my tough check.
Nice. Which was great, because I was just finishing my game with Brian, and you were next to us, and I see you go to shake John's hand, and you're like, good game, and he says, tough check, and you roll like the 6, and it's like, oh, that's funny.
So I'm like, well, this is bad. But he couldn't get anything else to me, because it took so much to... I mean, he even just says, like, let's just finish this, but then... I somehow managed to survive it out. So I pull back Fury and everything. I'm like, well, I could kill a whole bunch of this stuff, but I'm still surrounded by 6 daughters, and I'm going to die next turn because I'm not going to pass 12 tough checks. So I'm like, oh, I got an idea. So I walk my bomber over. I never shake Jarl. He's still knocked down. I walk the bomber over and just throw it right on him. Like, well, one of my beasts will eat a house. They boosted dice plus one, or dice plus one, but all six daughters died.
I think the bomber's like, I got this, boss, and just threw a bomb directly on top of Jarl. I'm helping. Kaboom.
Well, the best part was he never saw that coming, so that just kind of blew his mind for a minute.
Well, I mean, it's a good, I mean, you're throwing a something that would, you know, technically kill your caster, mm-hmm. but killing six daughters is a pretty good trade.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, and because it's Hordes, not War Machine, what you're really doing is killing six daughters and doing seven damage to one of your beasts.
Yeah.
Which the Storm Troll deserved it at that point because it
fuck
had,
that guy.
Oh, yeah. It's one moment of glory. It walks up, tries to shoot a Knight Exemplar, who's then going to instantly electro-leap Anastasia to death and rolls double ones. So I'm like, well, you've just become a transfer target. But unfortunately, by this point, he's starting to score. It was outflanked, so he was up 2 points at that point, so I just shove a bunch of stuff into the zones. He manages to clear out one of them, and the other zone he sends in the Reclaimer to try and kill off Victor Pendrake and one Nyss that were in there. Those two models both survived, and now High Reclaimer's sitting there with no focus within range of Jarl. So I'm like, all right. We'll see if this works. I move Victor up. Unfortunately, he takes a free strike from Vilmon and dies. But whatever. So Jarl blows up. First shot does 6 damage. Second shot does like 2. I'm like, well, all right, John. I move my last model out of the zone.
I think second shot missed.
Yeah, the second shot, I think. Yeah, you're right. Just missed. So I'm like, all right, John. The last model I had in the zone moves out. You win on my turn. So that was that. And then the last game I played against Esteban. Baldur 1 list. And I'm like, well, Jarl could be a better match for this, but I don't really feel like thinking anymore. So I drop Gristle. And that was a great... That game basically boiled down to why that list is so good, is at the end of the game, he had 3 seconds left when he shipped it back to me, so I won on scenario. I had 37 minutes left.
Yep. I know the exact feeling. What, and he keeps taking pictures of like clouds.
There's a rainbow.
There's a rainbow out there.
There's a beautiful rainbow.
There's a beautiful rainbow out there, and I'm trying to get my stupid Twitter thing to actually post it, and I can't get it to
You're
post.
Taking
just walk
a...
over there and take a picture from the left
no,
side of the window.
No, my Twitter's not
I don't
not
see
alone.
The rainbow, I
There's
feel.
A rainbow out the window.
He just feels disgust.
I can't see
the other way.
There might be
tree.
A double rainbow.
There is not a double rainbow.
There's no a rainbow up over there on the right.
Why do we care about a rainbow? We're men.
It's actually really bright, too.
Pretty awesome.
So anyways, like I said, Shed of Mine died. It took him way too long to kill it, so I went on scenario. Because he didn't want to death clock himself. But at the same time, Nigel and John are playing, and they continue playing. Then I look over and Nigel's clock is plus 5 minutes and he's still playing.
Yeah, Nigel lost on time and then decided they were like, go ahead and see. He was trying to free up an assassination attempt, and so they decided to just ignore the fact that he had lost. Well, yeah. He had lost, but they decided to continue playing to see if it would have worked.
No one on that agreement also realized it would take him 10 minutes to do that freeing up.
Well, yeah, because he's like, I was going to get Sorsha on your caster and try to kill her. And I was like, okay, well, dice it out. Let's see. And John meant roll the goddamn attack rolls, and in Nigel's head, it meant take 15 minutes clearing up the infantry to make the charge lane that we're already agreeing you could do because that was funny.
That was one of the True many story. Great let's get the fuck out of here moments.
Yeah.
But so anyway, so John won, so that threw me up to a strength schedule of 11 on the day, so I got second.
Which is pretty sweet. It's always good when the guy you lose to wins, especially when you're like 4+ rounds, because it really helps. And you also played Keith.
Yep, who went 3-1, so.
Yep, so that really helped. Yeah.
I tanked Nigel's strength of schedule. Sorry, Nigel.
Suck it, Nigel. Mm-hmm.
So then I immediately decided I'm going to do what all good troll players do and bought my second mortar unit.
There you go. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Yep. So now all Madison gets to cry and suffer because of it.
That's fine. I'll kill Meat Mountain. Like, we need to have shit like that locally so that we don't lose to Circle.
Well, Jordan buy a bunch of Circle stuff.
Jordan, because he got third overall, he spent $76 on a couple circle units.
I look forward to him selling that all in a month.
Yeah, because it's
his Signar lasted so long.
And I'm actually happy because I think most of the circle stuff he picked up is stuff that my wife doesn't have yet. So
sweet. So the funny thing though is, so there's Brian's running an event later on this month, which is kind of like a newbie event.
Yeah,
so
it's 35
a brand new people.
It's in a town outside of Madison. Even. It's in Reedsburg. It's a new.
Yeah. So it's
you have coins. I'll go. I'll fuck those guys over. But so stop. So, coins for me. So,
any local who goes with a real list gets DQ'd. I won't even let him play.
So Brian, yeah, that's what Brian said. Yeah. He said he was going to DQ everybody who's bringing horrible lists. So Jordan's like going, well, maybe I should take Cro-Mac to this event. I'm like, Cro-Mac is, no, because all you're going to do is you're going to cast Bestial, make your opponent cry, walk forward, cast Bestial, make your opponent cry, and then walk forward, leap, kill the opponent's caster. Done.
Yeah.
We're doing primal and prime and primal only, so I can bring P. Haley, right?
Yeah. I mean,
well, I can't play in prime and primal
it's
only.
Not, it's yeah. not. It's just regular. It's just 35-point regular event. Yeah. I should have made it. I should have made it 25 points, but it's too late.
Tell you what, I'll bring pigs.
There you go. I don't know how many. I don't actually know what the turnout's going to be there, so I don't mind some locals coming because it may be a small turnout. A lot. The Reedsburg just started doing War Machine in the last couple months. The store has been around for like 2 years. And I ran a demo day there like two Thursdays ago, and it had like it was like 10 plus people, and they all had just bought battle boxes, so they're all excited. But they're all like, everyone was just very giddy to play and very all energetic, which was nice. But I don't know if they'll be. I don't know how many will be ready by the end of June for a 35-point event. So that'll be. But Baraboo, which is like 15 minutes away from Reedsburg, also has a store and new community. And a lot of them are going to come over, so we'll still have newer players from Baraboo.
Why doesn't your wife play?
Work schedule mostly.
Bullshit.
She heard we're crazy people. She's trying to avoid us, which is the smart play.
Have you met Dan?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Zappities and the Grumbles.
Well, at least your wife plays a little bit. My wife played one game with me and then decided, nope, which is fine. At least she tried it, but yeah.
She's like, this is stupid.
Well,
you're dumb.
She stopped me, too. And then she's like, nah, I'm done.
See, I tricked mine into painting my entire pig force. So, you know, I got that going, which was great.
I'm a better painter than my wife, so that doesn't really hold up for me either, so.
A, I was a better painter than her when she started, but she painted like 200 pigs, so now she's a better painter than me.
And a bunch of really nice merch stuff that I bought.
Yeah. And B, I don't really care about the quality of my models, as evidenced by my Convergence, which I painted literally field allowance of the entire army in like 4 days.
Well, A, I like to have my stuff painted.
Yeah.
And B, I don't want to wait.
And
a year
suck
for
it.
My wife to go and finish all my stuff.
Oh, okay. So now you're just saying she's a slow painter.
Well, she's one of those people that likes to take on projects, but like 10 projects at a time and only get them a quarter done, and then go and do 10 more projects, but not finish them. So she's got good intentions, but very bad at actually finishing anything.
We have zero.
What?
I'm looking at our Zappy Gremlins for Twitter. I found them.
No, good job. We got them. I can do them.
All right, good. That was too much work.
I got distracted there. Thanks a lot. I was going to slam Jeremy here because he said that his wife likes to take on projects,
well,
and I was going to make
he's
a fix-em-upper kind of thing and et cetera.
I decided
insert something
that
there.
I wasn't sure about Jeremy and just ignore him for a few minutes, so I just kind of moved on.
Yes.
It's like the normal Jeremy.
Yeah.
I was going to thank Dan during his battle report for his game against John for the verisimilitude. It was almost like Jeremy was here because there was another 15-minute fucking battle report droning on to my left. So I appreciate that.
I could have brought my notes, too.
Yeah, oh my God. Just pulls out this notebook with, it's like War and Peace.
Good.
So moving back to my battle report.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, battle report is fine. Yeah. It was all good.
Say, I won. I get to do it.
Yes. You earned the right to be boring for a half an hour.
Well,
yes.
that means we should never have Jeremy battle reports anymore, then.
See? There you go.
Except for that one time.
His moment in the sun. Yeah. Gone.
Yeah, we'll never get a coin.
I was going to take a picture of my first place coin and just text him. Look what I got.
The fact that Andy went 0-4. Like, if Jeremy had showed up and won one game, he probably would have gotten second for the overall.
He would have had a place. He would have had to go 3-1.
Yeah, he was behind me in points. I think
he was behind you by 1 point. Yeah. You guys. Yeah.
I think like the top 8 or something
the
got
top
a point.
10.
Top 10. So 2 and 2 might have done it.
Places like 8 through 10 each get a point, so they would have tied.
Yeah.
All right. So you had to get 7th or higher. What do you want from me? Point is
Zappity.
Yes.
I think when we actually make our crippled system coins, we should just not give Jeremy a coin.
We're making coins.
Grumble.
We're probably going to have them eventually.
What?
We, yeah.
I didn't know that.
And he has a list of a million things that he's going to make.
And we don't tell you about any of them.
Yeah. Well, to be fair.
He's going
to
put the 300 pain train up soon, too.
Yeah. Yes.
And the last battle report.
Yay.
The last battle report is more doable than the 300 pain train. I have been moving for like 2 weeks.
It's true. I just like to give you a hard time.
And yeah, it's, yeah.
You're all unpacked. Your place is all, you're ready to go.
My place is not unpacked. No. I do have four copies of Warhammer Quest sitting up there, though. We need to play that sometime.
So if someone would like to send an offer.
Yeah.
Like I said, well, this is his retirement plan.
I can play Warhammer Quest on Brian's iPad anytime.
Yeah. Fuck you guys. So here we go. Zappity Grumble time.
Boop, 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 boop.
Excellent Sexus, OP or not?
He's pretty damn good.
He's pretty cool.
I don't know if he's broken, but he's good.
He's amazing, but his contract may, his selection of miles and units may slow him down.
Yeah.
I'm looking so forward to 75 points. Crix with him as my second caster.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't even bring any. Because he can't even bring any.
Yeah,
of
it's
going to
be him and
it's just
two
a Crix
beasts.
Army and then just throw him in there.
Him and two beasts for seven points. Decel for the entire army. Seems good.
I think that's probably going to be what I pick up next is them. I just really like the look and he looks really cool and he could be really good.
More disgustingly enough, for the 75 point thing, he pairs really well with Gatsby 2. Because his feet can push shit together, and then you death knell them for a billion damage,
or just pile
all of them.
Well, yeah, you push them together, you put Deimortis ring on top of there, and go 20 things die. Well,
even just statistics with D cells.
There's just many beautiful things about it.
Yeah, he might actually be my second caster for Mercs. I've been trying to find a good second caster, and I'm working on it. So, but yeah, Zappity.
Bumble. I said Bumble.
Bumble?
I did. That's on purpose.
All right.
Crumble.
From Benjamin Glover, delicious. If you were forced to live in another time period, what would you choose and as what?
The future.
The future.
I don't know about it. Like, depending on how... You're going to be like fucking Amish. Like, you're not going to have any clue what's going on.
That's fine. The past, it's just worse conditions.
Come on, if Fry from Futurama can live in the future, I'm pretty sure Brian can too.
Pseudo valid point.
Well, it's always cool to say I would live in the Renaissance age, and you'd be dead in a week.
Yes. Yeah, what says cool. As what? Like,
just think, what show was it that I saw that had examples of like time travel like that? Had like a shot of people going to the future and into the past. Like, if you show up into the past right now as you are, like, whatever diseases that you have in your body will just wipe out everyone.
And that was,
and then if you go into the future...
It was Glove and Boots. It was the top 10 things about time travel from Glove and Boots.
Yes, that's what it was. Yep. Yeah.
I'll say I'll travel to the 80s.
Oh.
I would just fucking stay in the 80s, man.
The 80s are pretty good.
Oh,
God. Maybe...
Fuck you, Jeremy.
I totally disagree with
the
that.
The 80s are amazing.
Oh,
I don't know.
I lived through the 80s once, and that was enough.
You're young.
Now I can throw you outside this window, and you might fall and hurt yourself. The other place we couldn't actually, you just like land on the ground immediately.
Yeah.
All right, fine, future. But it has to be far enough in the future where there's like space travel. But not so far that I'm essentially an unevolved Neanderthal by comparison.
You're already there.
or honestly, you might be very similar to... You can go into the future, and it just be like, I lost the train of thought of the movie.
Zappity.
Grumble. I'll think of Idiocracy.
Okay.
Yeah. Love it.
You might be the smartest
Carl's
person
Jr.
alive. Carl's Jr., fuck you. We now have control of your child. Morin Wilkes sent us a YouTube link, which I can't view on my phone. So.
Thanks.
Wow. Good job.
Good job.
I almost said you can look at it on your computer, and then I realized what a terrible idea that would be.
Yeah, if we want to lose the entire cast.
Insert mariachi music here.
All right. Eric Azvedo sends best 8-player board card games.
Is Junta go to 8?
8-player is a lot.
Junta does 7 or...
Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, my God.
Get the fuck out.
I just
vomited all
over my
brain.
Is something with people named Jeremy?
Oh, God. I'm so ill right now.
Killer Bunnies.
That one.
You want to play some Munchkin?
I do love Killer Bunnies. That's a good one.
No, do you like Munchkin?
Not really.
God.
No. Okay.
Two out of three, but man.
Still, man.
At least you better
than
Jeremy
in that work. No.
I don't know.
I would say resistance.
I was waiting for you to say resistance.
I would say four-player games.
Yeah,
two four-player games.
There's so many great four-player games. Yeah. I don't get to play because we get like five people all the time. I'm like, fuck, I want to play the four-player game. But no, I think Junta plays, might do, because
I think it's seven is Junta. It's always been seven. I remember you.
You can do Arkham Horror at eight, but you wouldn't want to.
Yeah, see, that's my fear, is just an eight-player game. You just have too long of time sitting around waiting.
Yeah. And
time's up.
Times up would be
if we're counting party games, times up is great at eight.
You almost have to do party games.
Get some more people and play football.
Yeah.
Three more. You know, you could.
Well, with eight they do have eight more, player. That one game with the stuff, Eclipse, was it a six or eight players? And that's just awful, too.
Yeah. So I think it's a party game. If it's a heavier Euro game, you want to split to two 4-players or card game. Resistance or any flavor to your taste, but any of the hidden traitor mechanic games like Werewolf or whatnot.
Telephone Pictionary.
Telephone Pictionary. If you're drunk, Telephone Pictionary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Zabby. Normal.
Who would win in a drinking contest, Borka or Gundren?
The keg bear.
I think Borka, because his special ability, he gets drunk, but he still stays stumbling standing. Gundren actually passes out.
Yeah.
So, you know, gameplay mechanic-wise, Borka can hold it better.
And fluff-wise, Borka can regen, where eventually Gundren will just die.
Right. Borka just gets a new liver.
That's an interesting thing for an alcoholic.
Yeah. Well, it's like Wolverine can't get drunk.
Yeah.
His body metabolizes everything right away. All right, Zebedee.
Rumble.
All right, Jim Butcher's Ghost Story. Love it or hate it, and why?
Ghost Story? That's like you're two books behind.
Yeah. But, well, fine. No, that's fine. He wants to know what we think about Ghost Story.
I enjoyed it.
I don't know it. I
haven't read it.
I thought no it was pretty opinion. Good. I liked having the more, like, they took Mort and made him from this goofy little side character, and they investigated him more, and you learned about him, and that was interesting.
There's a lot of battles in people's minds. I love when you went and, like, there's a lot of, like, elements of, in Molly's head, because it was all, like, a big Star Wars battle.
Yes. Yeah, I like that. I also like there's a great moment in that as a pedant, I enjoyed very much, when he's in Molly's mind, and she... it's talking about quadrants, and he says, well, how many quadrants are there? And she's like, it's four. That's why they're called quadrants. And then, like, two lines later, she mentions that her forces are being decimated, and Dresden's just like, you know, I really wanted to explain to her the correct usage of the word decimated because of that stupid quadrants dig. And I was like, yeah, pedantry. Good times.
To be fair, I just can't not I enjoy all Dresden books. Like, I've never been, man, that was a bad book. I've always just loved them.
Yeah. I haven't bought the new one yet, but...
You know, I could tell you all about what
I know you could. I walked into the game store yesterday, and it's just like 30 people huddled around going, oh my god, and Mouse, and Dresden, and Molly, and I'm like, shut up! I feel like Andy with people in Game of Thrones.
My personal favorite was when everyone decided you should just drop and read it.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the advice. Like, just leave and go read the... If your choice was to buy the book or come here, why did you come here? No one else would have made that choice.
Yeah,
well,
so
to be honest, I was
behind.
For him going there because he paid me for it.
There
so.
You go.
Yeah, I was just hoping one of my friends who owned it would own it in paper form, not iPad form, so that they could read it and then I could borrow it.
No, see, that is why the e-readers are so great, because I just got done helping a friend move 20 boxes of books.
Yeah, but never
I bought a Kindle. I gave away or threw out all of my books. It felt so good moving. Then I bought 40 boxes worth of board games,
like,
so I didn't gain any
ground. I still love the feel of books, but... There was just something about having everything on a Kindle that is, or, you know, just having the Kindle app that is just amazing.
You wouldn't like my plan, though. My plan is when I win the lottery, I'm going to buy books. Books themselves, I'm going to take off the dust sleeve. I'm going to buy a Kindle for that book. Yeah. I'm going to put the dust sleeve on that Kindle and then put that on the shelf.
You're going to hollow the book out to hide a gun style.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah,
one Kindle, one book.
One Kindle, one book.
Yeah.
And he's just going to put them back on the
lighter
shelf.
Than the books.
No, he's leaving it in the book. He opens the cover and then just reads it on the Kindle screen. And then closes the cover and puts it back on the shelf with his other 200 Kindles that are in books. Meanwhile... Actually, to be fair...
I sort of love that, though. I sort of do love that.
Andy could do this with every book he would ever read for the rest of his life, and he would need maybe three Kindles. Yeah. So we're okay here.
Eventually I'll read.
So his reading is sort of like his painting.
Whoa.
Oh!
No!
Jeremy Byrne!
Wow.
Low blow?
I'm not sure if I like Jeremy 2.0.
Zumble. Next question.
All right. Best Mercaster to deal with Epic Lilith. I'm having trouble. Actually, Ashlyn works very well against Epic Lilith. Defense 17, any kind of high defense caster just sucks. Of course, you can get hit by blast damage and just die, though, too, but... Ashlyn in a wreck marker.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was thinking the flip side of it, how good a spiny Gorton does against her. She doesn't ignore cover, so, like, Gorton behind a wall with spiny growth is defense 17, armor, like, 24.
Yeah.
She doesn't kill a Gorton army.
A Gorton army. Does a standard Bart Batten battle group survive decently? Because Lilith doesn't kill as hard as
she has
Ozzyan
does. Nagas now.
Oh, she has Nagas. Shoot, yep. True. Yeah, so not
it's
Bart.
Anything that's super high defense is really, really the hard part with them, especially if you get things in cover as well. She hates those.
Does Mercs have any casters or spell defenses? That would be the other thing.
So not really, no. Just bring Alexia 2, because Alexia 2 has the spend a soul to cancel a spell ability.
But you only get souls off of enemy models with her, right?
Yeah. Which I guess Lilith doesn't have that many that she brings.
She
no, I would bring, if I was still playing Mercs, the list that I used commonly that I would take against her would be Gorton behind a wall with spiny growth on him, Wrong Eye and Snapjaw submerged so they can't be shot at all, mm-hmm. The spiny 15 inches behind Snapjaw or behind Wrong Eye so that he doesn't get killed.
8 inches.
And then,
so
yeah.
Can use it.
Well, he can move up in spiny. he's as far back as you can. And then Kayazi. With plus one defense piped on him, and then it was Kayazi and Nis, or Kayazi and Crows. I usually did Kayazi and Crows so that they all had stealth, but that doesn't help against Lilith. But technically, if you're bringing the list, it's not net deck completely. It was usually a Kayazi and Crows, so they were all stealth and blast immune, super high defense. Gorton's behind a wall, super high defense and armor, and Wrong Hand Snapjaw can't be shot at all.
It's a pretty solid list, too, because if you're going against Hordes, Crows are really good against Hordes.
Yeah.
If you're just shooting poison shots into beasts, that's... pretty awesome.
And that's basically the whole list. And then Ragman was in there for extra damage output, a driller as Gorton's jack, Gorman, whatever.
Sweet.
Deputy.
Rumble.
What are each of you planning to do for your midlife crisis? What did Brian do?
I haven't actually done it yet. I'm a little behind. I don't think it's legal. So I can't talk about it.
Well, it depends which country you're in.
That's true, but it'll happen in America. I haven't bought enough shovels.
Poor Jordan.
Is Bo not getting better?
I just kick him now. Probably doesn't goes away.
I should probably mention that Bo is a dog. I think we've
that
talked about Bo.
That may have been worse.
Yeah. if I kick a person, I'm like, oh, whatever, kick a dog, fuck you. It's not really a dog. It's kind of more of a... It's
a Shiba Inu, so it's like a demon in dog shape.
Yeah.
Yeah. That dog.
They're terrible dogs.
I just dunked him in water today. He left me alone for a little while.
This got lost to freaking the thing failing a couple episodes ago, so I'm going to repeat myself. Shiba Inus are terrible dogs. They bite you. They stare at you with their sociopath, serial killer, empty, facial expressionless faces, and you can see their anuses constantly. I don't like them. Don't Zappity. Like them.
Crumble.
Nobody had a midlife crisis.
Nobody had a midlife crisis. You know, I think that's you have to basically grow up to have a midlife crisis.
Good though. That's a good default.
Well, and just to play it safe, because I don't know how long I'm going to live, and midlife crisis should be midlife, so I just do that every birthday. Just tons of whores and cocaine.
I think you have to grow up for that, because you know, whenever you see somebody having a midlife crisis, they're always some kind of businessman who's you know, done the business thing forever, and then they're like, I'm going to live like a teenager again. Like, I don't think most of us have actually left that point.
Right.
Yeah, well, no, really. I think some of us have left
left the teenage point, but I mean, we're still playing board games, we're still playing games, and we're still doing... If there was somebody here to play D&D with, we would be playing D&D again.
Yeah, life's different now.
Not D&D.
Probably
well,
not.
An RPG of some kind. Speaking of, there's some like super cheap bundle where you can get like all the original Deadlands books for like $10 or something. I loved that game.
All right, Zappity.
What? Oh,
grumble.
Have you guys ever gone over to Europe? What foreign trip would you like to to do and why?
I have to get my passport. I have to get my photo. I found my damn birth certificate, which is my first problem. And now I have to get a picture taken, which is really easy to do, but I haven't. It's taken me a month now, and I haven't done it.
You got your hair cut.
I know. That was very good. Europe seems intriguing to me, especially Switzerland, because there's... But I might go to Australia. That's my... I've not left the country. I've traveled a lot in the U.S., but I'm really tempted to go to Australia in 2 years. I'm a little tempted to go to Europe, too.
I went to Europe. I went to Germany to visit my uncle and my brother, who was stationed there at the time. Italy. And then we made the trip up to Amsterdam while we were over there, too.
Did you behave while you were in Amsterdam?
I did behave, yes. I did. I did.
I don't believe you at all.
No. We went to the Anne Frank Museum. We went to the Van Gogh Museum, or Van Gogh, or Van Gogh, depending on which European country you're in and which stupid
and
way they want
horse.
To pronounce it.
And was it Anne Frank, the blind child?
Yes. We would. It was great. My uncle's a minister, so it was interesting walking around Amsterdam with him. But he could. We mostly just discussed the variety they have in the red light district. Like, there really is like a wide selection of different options. Every weight class and color tone and just everything. And my uncle put it well. He said, one man's owl is another man's nightingale. I'm like, ah, that's a beautiful way to talk about ugly prostitutes. and then Rome is terrible. It is the worst city on the planet. It's fucking atrocious. Never go there. That was my Europe.
It's kind of like Rhode Island.
Oh, it's terrible. It's everything bad about big cities and none of the good things. And like, you try to enjoy like the historic monuments, but you can't because you're just being accosted by Roma trying to just sell you random knickknacks and shit. And it's like, I'm trying to enjoy Trevi Fountain, please go away. But you can't yell at them, because if you do, they'll stab you to death and steal your wallet. Yeah, it was not good. And just feral cats pissing everywhere. And
like, it was Nick's room?
Yes.
Roma's like, yeah. Nick's room.
Roma is red Nick's room with a lot more shysters trying to sell you things and steal your wallet.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm like Ryan. I've never traveled out of the country, and I think I would want to do Europe. I'm not 100% yet, because there's still a lot of stuff in the U.S. that I want to see, too.
Yeah.
So.
People don't like us other places.
That is also true.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes
I mean,
the issue
to be fair, I don't
country.
Like us either.
What I've actually kind of found, and some of our foreign listeners can verify this or not, is people don't like America, but they don't mind Americans.
We're dumb and spend money, so that does help.
Yeah. We're kind of lovably well, obnoxious as long as we don't do the thing. Like, if they're a non-English-speaking country and you just speak English louder, if you're one of those guys, they'll hate you. But they don't mind just general Americans as long as you understand that you're in their country.
See, I also think it also depends on if you go, like, with just, like, you and someone else versus a large group.
A flock.
Because large groups yeah. are just annoying no matter what nationality you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, when my wife and I went over to Thailand... If you went over there and you like try to speak a little bit of the language, like saying thank
why
you,
bring
and all
the, why
that
would
stuff?
You bring the wife to Thailand? I don't understand. I understand why you go to Thailand.
His wife's into ladyboy hookers.
Okay. No, it was her sabbatical, but it was a lot of fun.
We don't
but
need
anyway.
To, no more crippled fury. We don't.
Anyway, but I'm just saying, like over there, we
but
were
they
like
you just fine, right?
Yeah,
like,
we were
yeah.
just fine. And as for where we're going, I've never been to Europe, but we're looking at going to Norway and probably Germany within the next 5 years or so.
You go to Sweden. Würzburg. Würzburg is amazing.
Well,
if you go to Germany.
She's got family. Well, her family's like from Norway, so it's distant relatives. And then I have family. I'm 100% German, so we're gonna probably go and try and visit, find some of my distant relatives in Germany when we're there.
Knock on the door. Hey. I'm related to you. Like, go away, American.
You should go to Sweden. Visit one of our resident podcast members.
You should.
Yeah. It's been a while since he's been on our podcast. We should bring him back sometime.
Sometime.
Not the next
point.
Few minutes, but
everyone's
no.
always want. He's been. People have been very sad. It's been a long time.
They've been sad. Well, eventually, originally, Andy recorded a battle report with him. But
oh,
we were able to get for a commentary track.
Yeah. There was going to be a battle report between Swedish Muslim Jeremy versus Merman.
It'd be funny for 5 minutes.
It was only good. Actually, to be fair, the game was only about 5 minutes long.
It was pretty. Nothing drained all the life out of me than the two games that were recorded for Monsterpocalypse.
Yeah, like Andy was like, "This will be great. Like, we'll do Monpoc. Like, that'll be a great little thing." And apparently, I have retained slightly more Monpoc ability and rules remembering and tactics than Andy had, because Andy was basically like, oh, I kind of, how do I do this? And I'm like, I just fucking killed you. And he's like, I don't remember how units work. And I'm just like, this, I just did 8 damage in 1 turn, which is mathematically impossible, but I managed. Like,
yeah.
Andy was very much no longer for his idea. Nope. Recording commentary.
Nope. Yeah, that went right into the bucket. For me traveling, I've traveled outside the country. Only I've gone to Canada. That doesn't really count out of the country. It's like going to another state. But I would like to go to Germany. They have a rather large music festival over there every August.
Eventually, Germany will come to you.
That is a true statement.
By the way, that's in World War travels, joke. But fuck the French. I hate them. Every French person I have met on my travels are the worst.
Yeah,
they're even worse.
Paris is also
they're even
awful.
Worse than like your Asians. And I'm sorry, I'm not being racist. But
are
your
you sure?
Asians traveling are so rude.
I'm gonna mitigate that a little bit along the lines of being at the buffet today.
Nathan is mitigating the racism right now. Yeah. The world is upside down.
I might be a different kind of racism in a second kind because I'm
might.
in a second here is sitting behind us was an Asian family and they had a baby and the baby you know was smiling and everything so I'm like you know smiling and waving fingers at it and I'm just gonna go on record as saying that chubby Asian babies are the cutest babies by far. Like white people, black people, Mexican people, like step up your game because the chubby Asians are just adorable babies.
So there's a music festival that happens in Germany called it's Whack in Open Air. It's like a 3
you
day
can whack in open air.
Yes.
Oh my.
Yes. I knew.
I'm taking
my
pants off again.
I goddamn knew the second I mentioned what the festival was. That's. Open air is because it's an open air venue. It doesn't have a roof, obviously.
I just want to play dumb. I just be like, what? I wasn't supposed to? I'd just be totally confused.
That name doesn't sound German enough. It doesn't have yelling involved. Well,
okay.
Not enough vowels.
I didn't say Wacken is there. Really more of the correct pronunciation for it.
And the correct behavior.
Yes. But it's a 3-day metal fest, and I would love to go there. And I'd also like to visit Australia. Just because it's, you know, I want to be around something that wants to kill me at all times.
I have to get like an armored suit.
You lived with
and
Nick.
I need to get permits for like a team of people with flame. I want to go to Australia, get some sort of bodysuit, and have like a team of guys with flamethrowers just following me around.
You going to Australia is like the Marines landing in Aliens. You're Ripley, yeah. And here's one Hudson and Hicks and Apone just all there. Just like, check those corners. Where's the huntsman?
You can't use live ammunition though.
Just be flamethrower.
Where's Pesky? That's just a daily commute in Australia. Is that scene? Just drop bears pulling Wispowski out into the kudzu.
I've been studying Australia more. I find it like the worst. I think the center country. I think Sydney is where it's like the worst. That place terrifies me the most.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's one of the only. It's an entire continent. You know, yes, they're native people, but apart from the native people, the entire continent was colonized unwillingly by people forced, literally at gunpoint, to do so. Like, it's not like people are like, I want to go live in Australia. It was, I murdered and raped 50 people. I have to live in Australia
or Georgia. That was the other. It was another.
The state?
Yeah.
No, another.
That explains a lot. Yes.
Well, technically, the state, but.
Yeah, no, Georgia is another prison.
The Soviet state.
Yeah. Not Georgia. I'm talking Georgia, the actual state in the U.S., was a prison colony.
That does explain a lot.
Yeah. All right, Savvy.
Durable.
Are any of you the grilling type? And what would you grill that's beyond hamburgers and hot dogs? Oh, I can answer that right now. Brats.
Everything.
Fucking brats. And
great New York strip that's perfectly marbled. Oh, God.
Let me finish him. And he's like, this will blow your mind. I plan on trying pizza and kebabs this summer. Who?
No, you can
pizza.
Yeah, you can grill pizza.
You have to get a special tray and put in the thing.
Really?
I've actually seen people do it when it's just
husk.
Open.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Corn. Yeah.
I wanted to
cob.
Get corn, but I usually do it in the husk. But the store they only had they had it peeled, so I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure how to.
You can foil wrap it.
Another thing to do on the grill that I absolutely love is tin foil. Put your slice up potatoes. Put salt and pepper and garlic and butter. Close it all up. Put it on the grill. It just cooks it right in there.
Might try that.
Change that last step. Here's a nice trip. Bacon. Do that exact same thing, but instead of putting it on the grill, put it on the engine block of your car and then go on a road trip. And then when you get there, you have a delicious meal.
When I used to do road construction, we'd go and get the soup in the can and put it on the engine block of one of the things. Yeah. And by noon, it'd be warm, and that's how we'd eat.
So when you do the... I'm back to the potato. How thinly sliced do you have to go for potatoes?
Not too bad. You can cube it up or do the
half inch,
slices.
3/4 inch cubes.
Because I plan on growing a lot. I also want... Well, we grill this weekend. Jordan goes through all vegetables on the grill. It's very annoying. Because I had room for the meat.
Asparagus on the grill is good.
That's what he... Yeah. That's what I keep being told that. I just...
The other thing I want to try and get trap. Is get another wok and try just stir frying on the grill, because then you can actually get it hot enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, brats. Any meat.
Yes.
Brats are definitely... Well, it's more of kind of like a... It's a German thing, really. Is
chicken wings, anything like that you can do on the grill, too?
You can do fish. One thing I've seen a lot of people
just be
talk
careful
about,
with that one.
Yeah. Fish tends to break apart. One thing I saw online...
Except for you can get a nice plate for
them. Put foil down or something.
Yeah. Foil down, or even putting down like a whole bunch of lemons.
Oh,
from
yeah.
what I've seen, putting lemons, and then it won't stick to the
grill. Or you can do,
grill.
I haven't done it, and I'm sure I might do it wrong. This is an Asian thing, is grilling fish on wood planks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it gets kind of that smoky thing going, too, and it prevents the sticking. It's all, yeah.
Yeah. That sounds pretty good, too. All right. So, yeah.
And brats. Do I mention brats? Also brats. Which...
Bratwurst?
My eternal battle with brats... is I don't know if I should get Clements, because that's the sausages that race at Milwaukee Brewers games and that they serve at Milwaukee Brewers games, or Usingers, because that's the brat that Bob Uecker, Mr. Baseball radio announcer from Milwaukee Brewers, tells me I should get.
The correct answer is Johnsonville brats.
Yes. Or you just go get the brats actually from a butcher.
I don't like them as much. That's the least favorite brats I've had is when it's from a butcher.
I've had some really good butcher
from
brats,
Jim
but
Butcher?
I've had some really bad ones.
Jim Butcher's a lot of things.
At least Johnsonville's always the same.
Consistent. Yeah. I mean, Johnsonville's consistent and everything, but it's half the price of Usingers or Clements. But
My brother used to work at a butcher shop, so he used to bring home brats and stuff, and the cheese-filled brats were amazing and all this
I got
other
burger.
Stuff.
So. I normally just get burgers and I put the cheese on, but today I went Hy-Vee and I got like the fancy, like the cheese and the
Hy-Vee.
Bacon and all those things kind of shoved in the bun.
My eldest brother, hey Adam, this is an anecdote about you. He, one time when we were younger, he went to go grill for the family. He was like in high school. He was like 14. He's like, I'm going to grill this time instead of dad. And so we're going to do cheeseburgers. So he takes the raw hamburger patties, he throws them on the grill, he puts the cheese on top, and then he goes inside and he waits a couple minutes. He goes and then goes to flip them. And it's just like, hey.
You know what we could have did? Nope.
No, we couldn't.
Nope.
Not on that surface. There's ways around that problem, but not on a grill.
Zappity.
Grumble. So, like Cricks, Cricksing harder to beat Cricks, can any other faction do this?
Out itself?
Yes. I said it exactly how it says. Yeah. It says, like Cricks, Cricksing harder to beat Cricks, can any other faction do this?
I understand the question.
Yeah.
But,
I mean...
Trolls can troll harder, just more armor.
Well, I mean, I don't think any other faction has the same problem of people just build a list specifically to screw it as hard as Cricks does.
Yeah. Like factions are... I mean, it's...
But it's kind of hard. Like, can a Signar gunline be more gunline-y than a Signar gunline is the question. Like,
But you could Haley
can
two.
Rhett outshoot Rhett?
You could out Haley two. Haley two. It'd just be like, oh, I do nothing.
What you should do is, like, as a TO, you should set up like a Haley two mirror match and then just shoot them both in the head.
The model?
Sure.
it would be a nice... nice experiment to watch people's just their life soul be drained playing Haley 2 versus Haley 2.
No, Haley 2, no clock.
Haley 1 is also bad.
I don't have time to record that match.
Haley 1. They said Jim and I did Gorton as a mirror match once, and that was fucking awful.
Yeah.
I think any mirror match is just terrible.
Wasn't it a thing in Steamroller originally? I know generally you try not to have people from the same area fighting each other first round.
I don't know if it actually was a steamroll thing. It may be just what we tried to do.
No, the steamroll thing was they
try to avoid faction.
Yeah, that was a big thing earlier on. That kind of went away. But yeah, that was a big thing, is not try to avoid faction. Because back in the day, there was all those faction coins all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
So they were always trying to have factions fight each other round one.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. I have no answer to his question.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Sorry.
Any idea what's up with endgame activity? Or endgame gaming?
So,
videos are private and no activity in months?
Someone knows, because he's part of a community, but he is not. Someone said yesterday or today he took all of his videos down as well.
That's what it sounds like.
Marked private.
Yeah. Really? So he's, he's doing something, and obviously people who know him, because he has a lot of friends in the community, so whatever he's doing.
Well, he moved down to Texas earlier this year. So
he's doing something personal. Either you know, and you could just guess, maybe he's rebranding himself to be bigger. I do know he pushed the lines of what he put on his websites as far as copyright ones, because I know he would get complaints occasionally.
He's gotten a few cease and desist from privateer, I'm sure.
He's doing something with his life. He's keeping it private, because he could, I mean, if he wanted it public, it'd be out public, because he literally lives in a huge Warhammer community War Machine community.
I guess wait for him to say something.
Yeah.
Has he been posting and stuff in general? Vanished entirely.
He's gone dark, yeah.
I haven't seen anything from since TempoCon.
Hopefully things are well. Maybe he just moved on to something else.
Well, I don't even just mean like on Endgame Gaming, but like as in like Facebook friends, normal big board posts.
He was
posts,
never
just
really a Facebook person. No, he hasn't posted in the big wars in a while either. Yeah. He just went dark for whatever life reason. Hopefully things are well with him.
If it sounds like a good thing to do, we'll go dark too. It'll be fun.
People will be so happy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Zappity.
They'll be rejoicing in the streets.
Zappity.
Grumble.
All right.
Grumble.
Why was a barbecue more important than our entertainment last week?
Because it was Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was moving too. I didn't have a place set up. It was worth it. It was fine.
I was so busy. I had 16 hours of board gaming, 5 rounds of disc golf, tons of barbecuing, Bratfest. I was too tired to podcast. Good times. 16 hours of board games. I wish I could say that about every week. I wish I was like a weekend. Yeah, 16 hours of board games this weekend, and I did a bunch of other stuff too. I wish I was just part of it.
Why don't we do board games every Sunday?
I don't know.
Games and then podcast.
I don't know the answer to that question.
There's zero reason not to.
You're correct.
Yeah. Hooray! New plans.
All right. Zappity.
Grumble.
Brian Kerr was looking for a unique template, so mine stopped walking off. Any suggestions? Put it on a keychain. Otherwise, I think Crippled System were coming out with some tokens eventually, too.
But as far as like AOE templates and spray templates.
Yeah, just do what every bathroom in like some of those gas stations attached to a brick.
Yeah.
I saw. I think it was on Trigger Happy TV. It's a hidden camera show, but where they had like a gas station key, and when somebody asked for gas station, they gave it out, and it was tied to a puppy. It lives in scrappers. Just make sure you bring the key back.
Wow.
You could draw dicks on them.
Hollywood.
People would be less likely to steal them if they just have dicks drawn all over them.
Hollywood.
Draw Hollywood on them?
Keep my title. All of us probably have dicks drawn on them already.
Yes. Draw Hollywood's dick on your template.
Might draw another crowd.
Or Beanish's. Those pictures are everywhere.
Yes. I actually use a cutout of Beanish's dick as a template.
when you need a reach marker. Oh, Jesus. You find something bigger than that.
Wow.
Then you can't actually.
We weren't supposed to name names.
Jesus. It's Beanish. Everyone's okay with it.
Zavity?
Grumble.
Oh!
If he wants to defend himself, he can go on another episode of Focus and Fury.
We've outlasted two of them. We've now got more runs than their original. We've outlasted their secondary version.
No. Well, technically, because they were at 70, we're at 70 was when they stopped.
Yep.
And then they did like 20, maybe 15.
They
or
set
so.
It at a weird number.
Yeah, it was one higher than Mom at the time.
Yeah. Because then when Mom kept on coming out every week, they kept on jumping their episode number. But I think once we hit probably, I think, like 75, or not 75, but like 85, if we do, because, you know, we might go dark after this episode.
Dark.
Zappity.
Bumble.
All right.
I can't say words.
What do I need to look for when building a hardcore list versus a steamroller list? Model count.
You want to be, You want to be in either version. You want to know your list, but in hardcore, you need to play the list at least 20 more times.
Yeah,
and especially the couple a lot. You want to play it. If you have a hardcore like a Daikon coming up in 3 weeks, you want to play that list probably 30 times between now and then.
Know it like the back of your hand.
You can play any model count list. People play 60 model count lists in hardcore because
I've done Krios 2 infantry spam before. In hardcore.
As long as you play it a lot, you can do anything.
Hmm. Well, the trick is you just don't make attacks with that list. You just make them grind through their time. They only have 7 minutes. They are going to run out of time.
I'm taking Fist of Halak to a hardcore coming up soon.
And people will cry, and you will probably do really well.
Oh, my God.
You just need to know your list. I mean, that is what it boils down to. I mean, that's true of Steamroller in general. You know, the better you know your list, the faster you're going to play, the less you're going to have to think.
It's more prevalent in hardcore events.
Yeah, I mean, not last year, but the year before, Chad did really well with Agrissel 1 Theme Force in hardcore. Yeah. So.
That'll be Meat Mountains. I bet Diakon will have Meat Mountains in it.
Oh, yeah, that one's going to be amazing.
It's a very...
That list doesn't take very long to play, and it takes forever to kill.
Yep. Keith played his Gatsby 2 list, which has like 50 models in it, you know?
I guess you also have to make sure that when your opponent is marking down damage, though, too, you can tap the time over there.
You can always
tap. Pause.
It's
not time
turns.
It's 7 minutes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The Death Clock Hardcore was an accidental, horrible thing that they realized and left anyone away from it. They had to do it once to realize it was a terrible, terrible, terrible idea, but, you know, that's how you learn.
All right, Zabity.
Grumble?
Stuart Lyman is asking me, when are we meeting up at Lock and Load?
That's a question for Andy. It's not Zabity.
It's specifically for me. I'll be at Lock and Load.
Come find them.
I'll be there Wednesday night. I'm staying with Dallas Kemp.
How many questions awesome are left?
There. Not that many. But anyway, Zabity, Grumble.
I'm sick of people.
How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
What is it? They're like 36? 37? They did a study on this recently. I think it was 37 wood.
Okay. Don't fuck it up. All right. Zabity.
Done.
Oh, my God. This is a long question. It's, hey, guys, having trouble making the decision on which faction to get into next, Circle or Convergence. Circle is my first faction ever, but I shelved them for a long time, and now I have the desire to pick them up again at the same time. Pope Grievous, a.k.a. Father Lucant, and Big Stompy Robots of Convergence are calling to me. What should I do? Pick a faction.
Play KR.
Play Circle or Convergence.
You shelved your Circle... And you really, really are being called to by Convergence. Your heart knows the choice that you want to make.
Play Convergence.
Yeah.
I mean,
seems like an easy one there.
Yeah. I mean, it's just you really seem like you emotionally want to play Convergence over Circle, and that's always the better choice than which is more powerful.
Follow your heart. That's why I'm back to Crix. Yeah.
Whichever faction that you like the look of the most, take that faction and play it.
You can't follow your heart to Crix, because if you play Crix, you don't have a heart.
Now, it's been turning dark lately. I mean, you know, I just need to like get out of the fun. It's the most therapeutical way to get through inner rage.
Yes. Zabity. I'm trying to hurry
Grumble.
To get these done. What man off caster would terrify you if they started seeing more competitive play?
Reclaimer.
Any of them? They're honestly really... Reclaimer's solid.
Yeah, if I had to fight against that list John put against me all the time, I would hate myself.
Is awesome too, and he doesn't see enough competitive play.
Yeah.
The Fioras you don't see as much as that you used to, and I don't know why.
Because John's not playing them anymore.
I guess so. I mean, you just see Harbinger.
Harbinger, the Krioses we usually see all the time.
I don't play the Fiora just because I don't like her playstyle. Just doesn't fit me. So
it's just, I mean, Infantry Machine still exists, and Fiora 1 says, hey, I win against Infantry Machine, like, automatically.
Yeah.
Because she feats, and 2/3 of your army dies. That's good.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's just that 1/3 is with Holster, then she dies.
That is true.
Neither player knows which 2/3 die. That's where the really interesting the challenge is there.
All right. Zabity.
Grommel.
What do you think will be the big announcement at Lock and Load, or will there not be one at all?
There'll be something. Yeah. There'll be things and stuff.
Possibly maybe a new Hordes faction.
That's probably just long-term previews of the next War Machine book and something big for for the IK mechanics.
They'll probably talk about the new board game, that Invasion or whatever board game.
I think they'll actually be...
I think it comes out.
No, I think that comes out maybe at Gen Con.
So they'll probably they'll
have it there like High Command was at
How long after War Machine did Hordes come out? 2 years or three?
Three.
3 years? Because the thing is, I think we'll get
it was 2007.
I think we'll get the new Hordes faction at the 10-year anniversary, just like the new Worms. Like, so I don't think the new Hordes faction is coming up yet. I mean, they don't have to stick with the 10-year anniversary thing. They could roll it out sooner.
I wouldn't be shocked if it would be announced at one of the TumbleCons in the near future.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised, but I also wouldn't be surprised if they waited for the 10-year anniversary.
That makes sense.
But that's the other thing, is they always seem to do their big release at TempleCon, so I'm not expecting anything earth-shattering.
Because at the beginning of the year, it's easier for them for a calendar release to do that instead of a mid-year thing.
Well, plus it's a lot less planning for them, because right now they're running around trying to get their own con working, whereas that one is they just have to ship Will out there, and he can do it.
Yeah. Well, last year it was basically Convergence was released at... Yeah, Lock and Load.
That's true.
Well, aren't they doing Cephalix? Cephalix at Lock and Load.
There'll be some Hordes news. Maybe they'll have like some. Maybe they'll give some tidbits on the Warlock or the Beast Packs or something.
Maybe they'll give tidbits about the Minion Battle Engines.
Whoops!
Beast Packs would be amazing to know more about.
Yeah. I heard a rumor that those were part of the same glitch. And
they
people
were.
Saw those, but nobody leaked the info. Like, if that's true, like.
Well, the difference
how do you
was,
not do that?
Yeah, I mean, we played around with it, and the battle engines for minions didn't exist in the current version of War Room, so that got noticed right away. So it's entirely possible, I know talking to people who are in the beta, that apparently they were in there, but people may have just not seen them before they shut it down. Because they would have actually had to look through the entire list to notice one new entry.
Good job, suckers. You didn't catch it fast enough.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Zabity.
Rumble.
Does it bother anyone else that those two asshole guardians of Harry Potter will never get what they have coming? I have no idea.
Which
asshole
about.
Guardians? Two asshole
about
guardians of Harry Potter. That never get what they have coming.
You're talking about the Dursleys? Because there were three of them, if you count his cousin. Does that mean his legal guardians?
That's probably what he probably means.
Probably okay. means the
well, the books are much more. The books they get a month. They're not as bad at the end of the book.
Yeah, they kind
of
grow a bit.
And the show there. I mean, the movie. I was thinking, but the movie is never. They never got any.
Well, those were easy 10 minutes to cut out of every movie.
Yeah,
his like parents that kept him underneath the staircase.
Yeah. I mean, but in the books they're better at the end.
it's okay for the abuse.
Like in the last book, or maybe the second to last book, like they really. Talk a lot about why, like it's almost like his aunt is pretending to be mean, like on purpose for. Like I remember there being some justification, like because remember her sister was brutally murdered by an unknown thing. Like she doesn't understand the concept of wizards shooting lightning bolts and shit. Like she's way in over her head.
Her first two experiences with wizards and witches were her sister doing magic spontaneously and Snape.
Yeah. Like, and then, you know, her sister and her brother-in-law get murdered and they kid and everything. So, and I remember there just being something like she's actually a good person, but she's like playing up the meanness to like hide Harry or keep him out of that world or something like that. I don't remember the details of it, but it kind of not justified, redeemed her a little bit.
Sure.
Hmm.
Yeah. I my only experience is the movies. So. Yeah.
But. Also, no, they're all done. There's no more anything happening to anybody in those books.
There's rumors about. More stuff coming out.
I think the rumors were about more stuff in that universe, not more Harry Potter. Story's done.
Yeah.
Neville was awesome. He killed Voldemort. End of story.
Zabity.
Rebel.
Who is your favorite Ghostbuster?
Who's going to be the first to pretend that Bill Murray isn't the right answer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
I was going to go with Ernie Hudson, but I couldn't remember his name.
Winston.
That shows how... No, I meant, like, literally the name Ernie Hudson. Oh. I couldn't remember that this whole time I've been trying to think, and I didn't just want to say the black one.
It's very rarely a thing you just want to spur it out.
To be honest with you, I think a case could be made about him being the best Ghostbuster as well, because he's a guy who came out on the streets who had no idea what the hell they were doing, and he's like, nah, fuck it, I'll do it.
Honestly...
You'll pay me.
Yep, exactly. As long as I get a paycheck, I'm fine.
My actual favorite's Egon.
I actually like Ray.
Yeah.
That would have worked if you hadn't stopped me. Good old Egon. They sing lullabies to a toaster.
Get her, Ray.
Zappy.
Grubble. Steve Merrick sent me a YouTube link. I can't see it.
Another one?
Yep.
He heard you couldn't do the first one.
It was something for Fuffle Puff blog.
Fuffle Puff. Oh, it's probably something having to do with the Dursleys then. Oh, what the fuck is that? That is an obese pink unicorn monster.
I have no idea what that is.
It's probably a brony thing.
I'll watch it on my phone when I or not on my computer when it's done.
Next.
Right. And Dylan,
Last question here is, I had a dream where a local Crix player was Tartarus and turned me into a Bane. Should I be concerned?
Seems good.
Seems like a thing that would happen. Yeah. Accept it.
Yeah, accept your Bane. Be good. Just follow him around.
Accept
him
by inevitability.
No, just seriously, just follow him around and just ask him, like, what is your bidding, my master?
It's a disaster. Skywalker, we're after. The Star Wars gangster rap.
Yes.
Really, if turned into a Bane, the correct response is just to go around planting bombs on things and saying, bomb! Bomb!
Oh, I wish I had a cup so I could talk like Bane.
I'm Bane. I'm a British man with an echo in his voice.
All right. All right, that's it. That's all the Zappity Grumbles.
Good job, people.
Hooray.
Recommendation time. Go, right. Dan.
So, I actually have two recommendations. These are both things I've found.
Cheating. Oh, my God.
Someone has to do Jeremy, and you're not doing a good job.
Nobody has to do Jeremy. No. Katie already has to do Jeremy. It's her wifely responsibilities.
Her vlog about it is always depressing.
Yes. Oh, God.
It's inmeagain.com. I don't know where it came from.
That's also in her blog.
Somebody needs to see if that's an actual website.
I am not going to type in it's inmeagain.com in my browser. You could be the one to jump on that. I did my little porny. Dan, you had recommendations. All right, I'll go while Dan's trying to catch his breath. I recommend rats. If you're looking for a rodent pet, like a guinea pig or a gerbil or ferret or something like this, I might have, but we recently got more new rats. I talked about them recently because Raylene got them for her birthday.
I was
just playing with them. I'm getting a day, and I was cuddling and scratching their little tummies, and they were grinding their teeth because that's how rats, it's kind of like their version of purring. They're adorable. They're so much better than a fucking hamster or a guinea pig. Hamsters are the worst. They just bite you and shit everywhere and then bite you again, and you can never hold them because they're shitty.
And they bite.
And they bite, and they don't want to be held. You go to hold them, they're like, no, I'm going to run and hide in this tube. And so you have to, like, trap them and forcefully scoop them up, and then they just bite you and shit on you, and then you just throw them back in the cage, and you're giving this thing to a fucking 8-year-old as a loved pet? Stupid. Well, you're stupid.
You just do what my brother did, and he's like, yeah, they need fresh air, so he stuck them outside and then forgot them for 3 hours, and then the sun got on them and just roasted them.
Every day I wake up, I go downstairs, I see the terrible cat that I have that's terrible and I hate, and I just look at her and I look at the door and I think about just throwing her outside, literally, and then I don't. But I get closer every day. True story.
Sick the rat on her.
But rats are cute. They're adorable. They're smart and cuddly and clean. Don't get boys. Their testicles are gigantic and it's creepy and weird. Girl rats. Two girl rats.
Get to the vet and get them snipped.
You can get it done. It's just probably easier just to get two girl rats.
I really think that your problem is just you're feeling inadequate next to the male rats.
Proportionally? Like, those things would literally be down to your knees. They're bigger than their heads.
You see that one guy who had the issue with his balls that ended up growing so large.
He could sit on them?
No.
There was a guy, I saw that, a guy in India who would literally, use him as a writing desk. I'm not even kidding. This guy in India, he used him as a desk.
The guy's balls were so big that he ended up having to wear a sweatshirt upside down to carry them.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. He was on Tosh.0.
Yeah,
I know, but I think he died recently. But yeah,
well, I imagine he has some problems. He should see a doctor.
He's not on Tosh.0. They actually couldn't fix him. They got too big.
I'm going to Google testicle writing desk and see if I can get some more info on this guy.
Won't put it on the website I mentioned.
No, it's not available, or it is available. So if you want, it's inmeagain.com.
It's inmeagain.com.
The autocompletes are getting really interesting the more I write of testicle writing desk.
All right. Dan? Does anybody else have any legitimate...
Dan, try again.
All right. Two things on Netflix. Number one, a documentary called Dear Mr. Watson, which is about the Calvin and Hobbes author.
Just found that today. It was actually really interesting. I learned some stuff I didn't know about him. Mostly that the reason none of us ever see any Calvin and Hobbes merchandise is because he despised that part of the comics industry and actually fought and got his copyrights all taken back from the distributors and actually Soul owns it and refuses to license it. So that's kind of cool.
Interesting.
And then the second one
also. So when he dies, someone's going to get really, really rich off him.
And all those Calvins pissing on shit that you see back at trucks are
unlicensed.
Unlicensed.
Yep. So then the second thing also on Netflix, the Metallica Through the Never concert album, which is just enjoyable. I mean, there's a little bit of a plot in there, but it's not really important to it, and it's just a good live recording.
So it's like a plot like some kind of monster?
No.
Okay.
No, there's
just...
It's just a concert DVD with a little bit of stuff going on besides it.
My new game is trying to get Swipe to recognize testicles. It keeps offering different replacements. It's done testifies and edibles. Let's see how long it takes before it does testicles.
Well, that's like whenever I write fuck in mine, it always comes up with duck. It will refuse to go and put that in.
Biggest Tatiana I got now.
It is interesting how many there's. I've come across some very interesting documentaries on Netflix, and sometimes they're really depressing. And I'm like, now I know too much, and I wish I didn't. And then I'm like, well, now I watch this documentary, and it's these terrible things. Now I have to spend 4 hours doing research to make sure how. Because sometimes you don't know how
it's said right.
True or not it is true. I waste an entire day verifying the documentary. Then if it's true, I'm even more depressed because I'm hoping to find some counterpoint to it or something.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
I'll go with
the Cove was a depressing documentary.
I haven't watched it, but I know it's
the
awful.
One just killing all the dolphins.
Yeah, I knew what it was. I'm like, I'm not going to watch that one.
The best part about that though is there's this one like government official. He keeps talking about how it's perfectly safe and everything, and then they ask him if they can borrow a piece of his hair, and they test it, and he has just like horrifically large levels of mercury poisoning from eating dolphins.
Probably why he thinks it's okay.
Yeah, because he's insane from mercury poisoning.
All right. Okay, recommendation. I'm actually going to go with an old TV show, Angel, except for Be Mad, because right when it was getting super good and there was supposed to be this huge battle, they canceled. They didn't renew it for a sixth season. So it gets to the end of the fifth season. Lots of shit happens.
Well, they filled that was on purpose. That entire segment was they knew they were being closed, and the way it ended was on purpose to have them go out in a big thing. So,
yeah,
but because you could think, well, maybe they get through, maybe they don't. It was supposed to be ambiguous.
I thought it was the greatest ending ever.
Well, I was thinking that there was a season six, and it gets to that, and I'm like, okay, they're gonna. I realize it was the end.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, they're gonna wrap shit up, and then they. Do the whole big battle, kill all these people, and then they just leave you with like.
Well,
no, because
it wasn't
off.
Even kill all. Well, yeah, that's the thing. I thought it was an amazing ending because they build up to this huge battle. They have them there. They're outnumbered like 100-4. The battle goes charging.
And
series
a dragon,
ends.
And
it's series
stops.
Ends.
I know.
Well, I was like, that's
you,
amazing.
Well, you can't. They have like Buffy season 9. They have
it's in the comic book form, which I have, and I need to read it yet. But I'm like,
I refuse to admit that exists because I love the ending that it had.
I'm the pessimistic one, and I can still see them, some of them scraping out of it, some of them dying, some scraping out of it. I don't think it was a guaranteed death, and I know you do, but
yeah.
I don't agree. They get too much divine intervention. Angel's done too many things where you know, he get in earlier in the shows, he's had things come down and help him out. He gets like angels have helped him in the past and things.
I don't know, the whole reason was like they asked to be renewed early and they were denied. And so it never happened. So I understand how it happened and all that stuff, but it's just like...
Season 5 is the best season of that show.
I know, Season 4, I was hating and hating, and then halfway through, I retroactively loved the season. Because Amnesia is the stupidest writer gimmick to have ever.
Yeah.
And then there's... a point in season 4 that turns the entire first half of the season on its head when a certain someone gets stabbed in the neck. And then stab, and I'm like, oh!
Alex is watching Buffy the first time. He's going to watch Angel after this.
I'm not going to say any more details.
It is 10 years old, so I wouldn't feel bad spoiling it, but it's because...
Actually, if you're going to do it, when you get to season 3 of Buffy, start watching Angel, because then they go...
Just never look back. But well, I mean, the point
four,
is season
yeah. They start going sequential. So.
Season four flips itself like partially through, and so like,
I hated
when that
the final.
I'm like, oh my god, that's awesome! Actually, retroactively,
season four has the worst villain last four or five episodes. That's my problem. I love season four up until that. I'm like, god.
But season five, the ending I liked, and I know you said it's pessimistic. Like I do assume that literally every character on Angel dies at the end of season five. That's my assumption, but I think. Personally, if that is correct, it's an amazing ending because it's like the Battle of Thermopylae. It's like 300. Yeah. It's like the heroic, brave sacrifice. Yeah. I know Andy's along the lines with me. Andy has a big thing that martyrdom is an amazing thing.
Oh, it's such an awesome thing in movies.
Martyrdom is huge. Yeah. And I don't mind having a series end with the main characters dying
heroically. Well, I don't
heroically.
Either. I like the fact that they leave it. In my mind, it's
ambiguous. It is
ambiguous.
So you I can, just choose to interpret it as they all died. But
which is fine. And because it's ambiguous, it's not the end of the world to me.
So as you can see by this discussion, if you haven't seen Angel yet, you need to go watch it.
The character the character development of Wesley is the best thing in the world in the Joss Whedon universe.
When you talk to people who are still like on season three of Buffy, and you're like, Wesley's my favorite character, and they're like, you're joking, right? Like, it's like telling people in season one or book one of Game of Thrones that Jaime is your favorite
character.
He's
my favorite Joss Whedon character of all time. Easily.
I really like Spike, too.
Spike, I like a lot.
Actually, if you go and look at it, he was only supposed to last two episodes, but because everyone liked him so much, that's why they kept him around.
My favorite line in the entire Buffyverse, this one line is going to be a bit of a spoiler, so plug yours for the next 10 seconds if you don't care, but Gunn's talking to Wesley, and he says, "What happened to you, man?" And Wesley goes, "I had my throat slashed and my friends abandoned me?"
Yeah.
And then he just walks away, and Gunn's just like, "I just lost that conversation." Like, he just gets fucking put in his place, and it's such a great moment.
He gets so... Oh,
he's so badass by the end of that thing.
Well, when they first introduce him, and you're like, oh, the demon hunter, and then he's like all bumbling. It's like, oh, okay, yeah. But yeah, he becomes very dark and very badass, and just
very
amazing
good.
Character development on him.
Good stuff.
My recommendation... What?
Pause and then go on.
Okay. Well, anyway, my recommendation quickly.
So what are you going to say, Andy?
Oh my god! it's all karma. That's what's happening. It's all coming back to me.
Karma,
but anyway, my recommendation is going to be Longmire. I've recommended Longmire before.
It's Longmire.
What? When does season three start?
Season three starts very soon.
Oh really?
Like me.
Yes.
Is that AMC?
No,
it's on Netflix.
A&E.
Andy.
I need to play you.
Longer. I just unplugged Nathan's microphone to have him go to another microphone and start singing.
Longmire's really good. I
Longmire, the season three is starting up soon. They just added season two to Netflix. Go watch it.
What channel is it on?
It's like Justified, but with an old cowboy.
It's. I mean, yes, but it's different enough.
It's different.
I know.
Than
I
Justified.
Just hate saying that.
Yeah, I mean,
I
hear you.
I think it's on. It's not on AMC.
It's no Banshee, but it's
actually, Banshee is pretty damn good too.
Banshee is over the top, ridiculous nudity and violence.
It's on Annie.
And Longmire is actually a better story. I can't, as much as I love Banshee, it's not. Quality. It's just ridiculousness.
Banshee has more of the TNA and over the top violence than you can really use.
Longmire has
got a really
characters.
Good story and awesome characters.
Yeah, like the first episode of Banshee has a transsexual hacker blow up a building to murder a mafia thug.
Yeah.
Like that's what you're getting into with Banshee,
and it never slows down.
No, the violent scenes in there are amazing. But yeah, Longmire is such a good story. Watch season one. Season two is on Netflix, and season three is about to start soon.
I have to go to my DVR.
Yep.
Right now.
Yet you won't take my advice and get Ray Donovan.
Oh, I can't watch that. I missed it.
It's on Showtime on demand.
I only have HBO on demand.
I have it here. You can watch it here.
I can't watch it.
All right. Game of Thrones is starting in like 2 minutes.
I recommend a game I haven't even played all the way through, but I already love it. The new Wolfenstein, the New Order game. I made a post. It's just so good.
Are you on PC or?
I'm playing on the PC.
You were supposed to get Far Cry 3. Did you watch the video I posted?
No, I would have. I didn't. I ignored your video. I saw
it. The video was great.
I probably was. I almost got Far Cry Blood Dragon.
Blood Dragon is amazing.
I'm waiting for it to go on sale. It's $15. I refuse to pay more than $10 for it. I waited till Bastion was $2 before I got it.
Bastion's a good game.
People keep saying how the sequel for Bastion, so not a sequel, the guys made a new game.
Yeah.
But it's $15. I refuse to buy it till it's $2. And even though I've heard it, I'll love it to death. I only pay $2 for that company's games. I'll only pay $10. I have Blood Dragon on my wish list, so the second it goes on sale, I'll get an email and then I will buy it for $10.
That'll be the 4th of July sale, probably.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I will buy the fuck out of that game. But the new Wolfenstein games are always fun, and it's always fun killing Nazis. I don't care. It doesn't get old. It's like there's a Nazi, you kill it.
It's just always the right decision. You
know, we and have to admit, that is one thing the Nazis did right, is give us something to hate for the rest of eternity.
Yeah. Which is allowed, too.
Yeah, which is allowed. Everybody gets to hate the Nazis, and nobody's going to be like, no, you come on now, guys. Because if somebody does do that, you get to hate them, too, and it's like a bonus.
Yeah. But no, it's still just a generic first person shooter, but and there's no multiplayer. So this is a first person shooter, which is 100% about the story of the game. And so, nice. Like games Titanfall, Titanfall is all about the multiplayer and all this stuff. I just want a good first person single player game that I can go through and have a great story, great voice acting, great action.
I'm really intrigued by a game where I don't actually have to talk to other people.
I know, it would be
amazing.
Half-Life 3.
If they actually made Titanfall a story-driven game.
Yeah.
Because Titanfall, from everything I've heard about it, is really fun.
Yeah, but if it's designed specifically to... I mean, there are multiplayer games that need to be multiplayer to be what they are.
I've enjoyed, Battlefield and stuff, but in Wolfenstein, you start off in 1946 because the Nazis built some big robots that were causing some problems. and then you lose the war, and you jump to 1960, and the Nazis are ruling the world, so you get to, just kill Nazis everywhere.
Andy, do you have DVR at this establishment?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because it's 7:58. Right. Oh, that reminds me. Nazis in, the 60s and stuff. Fine. In case I did Rats already, like Jeremy said, I'm going to recommend... You can find it for, a nickel, because it's an old game. You can actually download
it. Why the fuck is Farmville 2 on your goddamn... device.
It's an ad. Okay. My Kindle.
Oh, I was like, holy crap, you can win.
My Kindle's lock mode is a random ad for apps and shit to download, but because of that, my Kindle was free, so I'm willing to see ads for the quarter of a second it takes to turn it on.
All right.
Anyway, I might recommend this also, but it's an amazing game. It's on the PlayStation Network. Download Ring of Red. Ring of Red is super fun. It's a hex-based strategy game.
Is it a play on the Xbox?
Yeah, that's what I was going to get at.
It is not on an Xbox, no. Red Ring of Death.
That would be a horrible, horrible game to download.
So, Andy, I have an important question before we start Game of Thrones. How do you think it's going to how's the fight going to end?
Oh, shut up.
Mountain versus Viper. Who you got? Who you got?
Yeah, I don't think the fight's going to happen this one.
The episode's called Mountain and Viper.
No. I guess, okay.
Maybe that guy spoiled it wrong.
Maybe.
He tricked you. Maybe it was a trick spoiler.
Yeah. God damn it.
And maybe they changed it. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
We interrupted your
No, just Ring of Red. Mm-hmm. It's if you like hex-based strategy games, it's fun and it's good. It's giant robots fighting in the 1960s.
Nice.
Because it's an alternate universe where, we didn't nuke Japan, and so we had to invade it, and so it ended up being split north-south, kind of like Germany was split east-west, and so it has the communist north and the south, and the continued war also means that the Nazi scientists continued to make cool shit as they were doing, and so giant walking mechs exist. It's really neat.
Nice.
That is actually really kind of...
It's very steampunk, because the robots don't fly and fight with swords. They're literally just giant tanks on feet. And so the game's about infantry control while your mechs just walk towards each other and shoot a giant gun every 45 seconds.
Are all of them done in that same style?
There's a bunch of different styles. There's an American guy who is a quadruped. And
what I mean, they're done in the style from the 60s futuristic robots look.
No, they're done in the style of, imagine a Sherman tank with feet.
Okay,
and a big steam engine belching out smoke.
Done in that style. That was
dust.
Was it World of Tomorrow?
I will warn one thing. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but if you'll go after
the movie
with Ring of Red,
I'm gonna let you finish.
I just want to say this because if you do listen to my recommendation, you can download it. You're gonna play it, and the first five missions are gonna be fucking terrible. Because the first five missions are just with the robots, and the robots are really slow and boring. It's literally just artillery that fires once every 30 seconds.
Sure.
After the five or six mission, they introduce the infantry mechanic where you actually have your squads that protect you and they flank each other, and then the game gets fucking amazing. So do not give up on it because it is terrible for the first half dozen missions.
And then there's only seven missions, so ha ha!
No, then there's 500 missions.
Is it on Steam?
It was a PlayStation 2 game. Oh, okay. You can get it on the PlayStation Network. It's downloadable. I don't know if it's available on
PC. I will
PC.
Pay $5 for it.
It's probably only like $5.
All right, speaking of game download things, this is just going to be a nice public service announcement. Go on your Battle.net account. Go on the game media thing and download Lost Vikings because it's free.
Yes! Lost Vikings.
Nice.
Lost
Vikings.
And we have to look again to see if Rock and Roll Racing is available.
You were going to say something about the day after tomorrow.
What I was going to say is Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow, I think it was.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Terrible movie, great last line.
Terrible movie, but had I love the premise of it. I love the futuristic look of all the robots done in the vision of like the 1960s. Seeing, you know, kind of...
It's kind of like the Fallout games, where it's the past future.
Yes. Yep.
Seeing what the past imagined the future to be like.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's what, yeah, and that, Fallout is all about that.
I really wish the movie was better. Yeah. I mean, it had parts of it that were pretty cool, but I just like the vision of that movie. And I wish it would make something similar to that now, but it would probably still fail. But anyway, that's it. That's the end of our episode.
The end. Game of Thrones.
We could vamp for another 2 minutes so we can go over 2 hours.
Nope. All right. Nope. Mound versus Viper. Sub 2 hour show. Suck it.
Done.
Oh my God, where are we going? Tapping. Let's all go watch my